honest love is begging door to door.
Welcome everybody to the Side Quest episode 415, coming at you live from the 1993 MTV Video Music Awards. It's the latest episode of your goddamn favorite fucking podcast on the internet, The Side Quest. I'm Dally Demosky. Joining me, Steven Strum.
Okay, so 4 + 1 = 5, and then 5 divided by 1 is also 5. It's just, okay, man, these numbers, man, they mean something. There's a pattern here. Just read my Tumblr.
Yeah!
It's all there.
Oh!
And also joining us is Mike, the human trike Bachman.
Steven Strom didn't carry the 2. I heard it.
Shit. I've been discovered. I need exfiltration.
And also joining us is the one, the only, Diamond Dave.
God damn it, baby. No, I ain't lying to you. I'm only going to tell you one time.
This is the strongest opening we've ever had, I think.
Quite possibly the strongest opening.
Mm-hmm. The strongest cold opening, I think. Anyway.
Anytime you can get David Lee Roth to do your opening, it's probably the greatest.
Oh, is that who Diamond Dave is?
Oh my God, David. Welcome, guys. It's the Side Quest. I did hit the record button this time, so we are good to go in episode 415. Got a fun, fantastic show for you today. We're going to talk about video games and video games. How's that sound, guys?
Sure. I think I should maybe mention that, like, the first time I had ever listened to Van Halen was in Rock Band. The video game.
I wouldn't doubt it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't doubt it. Well,
I think that game came out when I was, 2 years old?
Possibly.
I was pretty old, guys.
I think that game came out actually, yeah, when you were like 2 months in the womb. You actually had broken some Guitar Hero records while you were in that womb, didn't you?
Well, yeah. It was really tough because I had to like wire a projector into there with a colonoscopy camera. When you're a baby, that's like huge too. So it's like, you know, comparatively the size of the screen, the resolution was great. The input lag was pretty bad though.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Well,
I can hear your breath like shooting into the microphone, and I swear to God, I just want to flush you out of an airlock. Yeah, like that. Monster.
Should I start sighing now or later?
I just assumed that we were in the midst of one giant sigh and that it was so low that it was beyond the range of human hearing. Mm-hmm. So what are we talking about this week, gents? What'd you guys do? What have you guys done this week?
Wait, we have... What about us? We got something. We got a transmission. A transmission coming in.
No,
we don't have a transmission. Sorry, I had it muted.
I think Dally may be high this.
I may be.
I know we joke about that.
I am not high today. I'm high on you guys. I'm high on your love. Hey, Mike, how's it going, buddy?
It's going all right. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You have...
A little hungry?
Yeah, I actually am very, very hungry right now. I have eaten maybe 2 slices of pizza the entire day today. I was stuck in traffic this morning on the way into the office for 3.5 hours. It's normally an hour drive, and there was a jackknifed semi. It was raining, of course, and truck drivers, who are maybe the worst people on the human planet, don't know how to drive ever, and especially in the rain. And so sorry for any truck drivers listening, but we don't want you listening to this show anyway, so fuck off.
It's true.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that is kind of a problem, as they constitute our primary demographic, as this podcast is only broadcast through CB radio.
This is correct. Fuck. Anyway,
through ahead of time, Dally.
So it went from like,
bridges without,
if you're listening to this podcast through any other source, please email Dally. We can get it taken down immediately.
No, they got to use my call sign, actually.
Gotta get black.
What's your call sign? Come on, something good.
Here you go, ready? It's the Strummer 69.
I thought it was going to be like the big Deli Double D's or some, you know, something, you know, because Deli Bordomovsky, you've got that, not anachronism, shit, that's the wrong word too.
It's
alliteration
in
that name, just like me.
My call sign is DNC for Democratic National Cockvention.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Remember right, how guys. I mentioned earlier that I was quitting?
Now you're serious. This is how we officially kick people off the website, is by embarrassing the fuck out of them on the podcast. Anyways, a lot of good stuff has been happening. That was my morning, my 3.5-hour drive in today. How are you guys are both doing all right?
Yep, still doing all right.
Good.
There was a bomb threat at my university today.
There was?
Yeah. We had to leave the campus and shit, like, early in the morning. My brother was kind of asleep. I was chicken around on my iPad or something like that, and we all, like,
and you caused the bomb threat.
There was another bomb threat going on at the same time in, like, a university in Austin, so they were kind of wondering if those two were connected. I don't know I haven't really kept up on it past the point where they let us come back to the campus. I don't really live on campus. I kind of live a little bit away from it in this sort of apartment suite residence hall that is owned by NDSU. So I wasn't actually totally on campus, but they still kicked us out of here anyway for a few hours. I went, got some pizza, you know, played some games, mm-hmm. read some comics, mm-hmm. And then came back. But it was pretty shitty to have to do all that stuff. And we got somebody here.
No. No, what's going on? Don't you dare.
No, I sorry, I had to deal with something over here.
Sure.
Yeah,
you did.
So that was that thing was I had to fight off the suicide bomber that was
so
on our school right about now.
Speaking of dealing with something, you've been dealing with a couple little things here and there, Steven.
Yeah. I've been dealing. You know, you know what?
Is it something you could talk about or you want to save it for the Steven Strom Love podcast?
I'm assuming nobody listens to this podcast, so I'm pretty sure I can talk about whatever I want. If anybody listened to this podcast before, they certainly don't now. They've shut it off by now, we are done. What are you talking about specifically?
Girls.
You've been
having some great experiences lately, actually.
I have been. Well, you see, when a man loves
a woman,
let's not get carried away. Actually, maybe
when a man loves,
before man, I think we got a little bit off the rails there, like a little bit off target.
The song just ends at "When a man loves," and it kind of goes on from there.
When a sexually non-identified sentient individual loves, Yeah, I know I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before. Probably not, because I think I was still there on the last episode. But I quit my regular ass day job,
yes, sir.
At the grocery store at the Sun Mart, and I became a news full time writer guy slash editor, working for both SideQuest, doing some freelance stuff here and there, and I also do I'm the arts and entertainment editor at the NDSU Spectrum over here, the college newspaper, and I get paid a hell of a lot more. Then I did it there. So now that was done, suddenly I see my weekends start freeing up, right? And I'm not anymore working with anybody. So I had anybody at the old job. So there was somebody at the old job, this girl that I was planning on, had been thinking about asking
banging.
Out for a time. Well, banging, again, let's not get carried away. I don't know how much mojo I do have. I don't know if I've this is another thing I don't know if I've mentioned on the podcast. I have not dated anybody in a while. I've been, you know, busy with the side quest, and also I'm a hideous freak of nature who lives in a bell tower. But, you know, it's probably more the first one.
Both of those are true, actually.
What's that?
Both of those are true.
Both of those are true, but it's just which one is the bigger issue. So I know I hadn't asked anybody out in a while, so I was planning on asking out this girl at this old grocery store, who's kind of part-time manager there, but she's also works for like pharmaceutical company and stuff like that I've known for a few years. But then suddenly I'm working as big time, you know, J. Jonah Jameson newspaper man at this other place. And there was a girl there who I, you know, also have known for a while. And I'm also, now that I'm working around there, I have more time to spend around her and whatnot. And I considered asking her out too, right? So we go, you know, things go along, and I contact Dally about the about this situation and ask him if there is some sort of Boy Meets World type situation where I can try to juggle both of them at the same time and see if make that actually work, which sounds like a joke, and it was. But there was a good 1.8 seconds there at, when I first came up with it, or like immediately after I came up with that that joke, where I thought, I wonder if I could do that. And then 1.8 seconds later, immediately hated myself forever. So, yeah, I was going along and whatnot, thinking, trying to choose between the two, you know, who I would try to talk to first. And ended up going to this big dinner function with a bunch of different people and met a whole bunch. I was the only dude of a certain age at this get together. It was me and one other guy who was like twice my age, twice everybody else's age. So there's a third girl there who also kind of writes for the newspaper as well. So I'm just like, I'm drowned for options, guys. Just totally, totally unable to.
You're like Ben Savage, and you're looking for your Topanga.
Yeah, I am one of the Savage Brothers.
Randy, certainly. You're Randy Savage.
I am Ben Savage's older brother, Randy Savage, come back from the grave to it's the spirit of Randy Savage has possessed my body to try and redeem himself in the eyes of God in heaven. To get into heaven and get his angel wings, he needs to help one mortal on earth to fulfill his life destiny, and that is me. And Randy Savage is trying to help me choose a girl to Randy gets out from time to time.
Randy sneaks out.
He assumes full physical control from time to time. And I am unable to control myself. So if that periodically throughout the podcast, just try and ignore that. But no, I haven't. I ended up eventually asking out one of them for this Sunday here, which is tomorrow is actually my birthday, which is tomorrow being Saturday.
Oh, happy birthday. Happy early birthday, bud.
Yeah, 3 more hours.
Two more for me, actually.
Yeah, but I'm not in your time zone, so... If I was in your time zone, it would be 2 more hours, but it would be 1 o'clock your time, which is still my birthday. Yeah. So anyway, I did eventually, ask one of them out for this Sunday because I didn't, because I am smart enough to know that it is a bad idea to ask somebody out right before your birthday. We'll see how that goes on Sunday. But yeah, that's my long and boring story about my social life that it actually exists now that I have left that soul-destroying job that I was at for almost 6 years and have become a full-time writer man.
I actually have a similar story. Tonight, I downloaded the movie Ghost Dad, and I'm planning on watching that later. So,
okay, you're a good man. That's a fantastic. Yeah. Was it Bill Cosby? I think.
Yeah, William Cosby.
William Cosby.
Well, it's William Cosby in America, but when his family first came over here from Germany, it was Wilhelm Cosbichon.
That's good.
He prefers that.
Yeah,
that title.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
I prefer that you keep that joke going.
He comes from a long line of cheesemakers.
That's actually what Cosby translates to. Cosby Colby.
Colby. Yeah, it's where we get the term Colby from. But the funny thing is, there was the word in German for cheesemaker, you know, being Cosby, is remarkably close to the German word for comedian, which is Cosby. So when his family came over here to the United States, there was some misinterpretation of his paperwork, and he ended up becoming a famous comedian by accident and found out that that was his destiny all along, and that was what he had to do. And so brought smiles to America and
all the children on Christmas morning.
Mm-hmm. He brought the children to Christmas morning. In fact, fit them all in that car. He was a very, very generous man. He had to make multiple trips to bring them to the Christmas.
To bring them to the Christmas. Well, that's fantastic. That's a nice long story. A nice roundabout way of saying, nothing happened. I'm going on a date soon.
Well, I mean, bomb threat. So, you know.
Right, but that was a different story.
Yes.
That was not.
Yeah, there you
that
go.
Wasn't an extension of the girl story.
Mm. What if the
nope.
bomb turns out to be. No, wait, hold on. What if the bomb turns out to have been misscheduled and it's actually about to go off on Sunday and I save her life?
What if the bomb is the brainchild of both of those women to destroy you?
Now, that is a thing that I have considered. And one of many probable outcomes, you know, which all of which supersede the possibility that I might actually be happy and not just... not just crushingly, terribly alone for the rest of my existence. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you tell him, Randy.
Well, all right, good job, Steve. Well, let's get into some games. How about we do that? Because we'll stop boring people with love talk here and get into some actual video games. And
yeah.
Steven,
we'll save it for our other dating advice podcast.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had a good name for it, but I'm not going to say it because it will get us kicked out by the FBI, kicked out of this country.
FCC?
I mean FBI.
Okay.
Female body inspectors. Ah, yeah. Steven,
what are you playing? There is something wrong with you tonight.
I'm just tired and hungry, and I'm hopped up on apple cider. We went to the cider mill this week, and I think they fermented I don't think they're supposed to ferment cider. But I think in this case,
yeah.
I fermented the cider and it's got a little bit of a kick.
Yeah, I was about to say, Deli, you know you're not allowed near apples because you are an appleholic.
Oh, I did order that iPhone Fizzle.
Yeah! You see, Randy agrees with me.
You're crazy. No, because that's not Randy. This is actually... There you go, yes.
Mike Bachman, save us from this downward spiral.
What's going on? Is the podcast still going?
Oh no. This is the worst episode we've ever recorded.
Yes, I am.
Oh, that was dangerously close to actually being coherent.
Anywho, so it's cider season. How's Pumpkin Fest?
The Pumpkin Fest. Yeah, I didn't go.
What the fuck? Oh. We could have recorded a podcast last night. You motherfucker.
Yeah, you didn't follow up with me and make sure that I was actually doing that.
We asked you twice. You're like, no, bitches. Here's like 50 links to Pumpkin Fest.
I sent one link to Pumpkin Fest, and then Ryan Franklin sent you the
fucking
link
Ryan.
to the Pumpkin Reaper.
No, Michael Bachman, why would you not simply like... let us know instead of just assume that we should keep spamming you with messages just saying, are you there? Are you there? Are you there?
Wait, what now? When did you say, are you there?
Are you there?
I'm here, yeah. But when did you ask me that?
No, like you just asked us. You said it's our fault for not following up with you. I'm saying, like, why would you expect us to say, are you there constantly, you know, hypothetically, when you could just say once, hey, let's do a podcast.
Listen, I'm just saying that you guys need to get your shit right.
I've had some fermented pumpkin cider.
I've got, you know what? I'm missing out. I was going to actually go tonight, and I said, no, I'm going to record a podcast with my best buddies. I've got like 30 coupons in my car for free pumpkin ice cream, and I could either be eating 30 cones of pumpkin ice cream, or it could be out front scalping those motherfuckers. Be like, they're selling it to you for $1. I'll give you this coupe for 50 cents. Mm-hmm. My get-rich-quick scheme. I could have had $15
right.
that I would have spent on pumpkin ice cream.
Jesus.
My get-pumpkin-ice-cream-quick scheme.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That old chestnut, that old ploy.
I would have, which is funny because I would have gotten more pumpkin ice cream if I just used the coupons.
You're out of your gourd.
Here's the other question, Bachman. Is there another Pumpkin Fest night tomorrow? Later this week?
Well, there is, but I got to work.
Oh, okay. So you are literally giving up on your one chance for pumpkin.
My one. Well, I mean, there's always next year.
Mm-hmm.
There's not always next year. There's next year for exactly 1 year, and then there's not next year anymore.
Well,
then next year. A new next year comes to take its place, but next year will never happen again.
Oh, this is like that Rudolph Baby New Year puppet movie. Yeah, that one. Remember Baby New Year and Rudolph Saves Baby New Year? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that had a name.
The only movie I've ever seen is Ghost Dad.
Well, it's really the only one you need to see.
Right. I just assume that they made that one and they said, we've achieved cinema perfection. There's really no need to make any more movies.
On the list of the greatest movies of all time, it's just that movie. There's no other movie on that list.
No, actually, it's not the greatest movies of all time. It's the movies of all time.
Well, the only two movies that actually matter in the milieu of American cinema are Ghost Dad and its latter day prequel, Dad, starring Jack Lemmon and Ted Danson. Because Dad is the prequel to Ghost Dad, because Ghost Dad would mean he was dead, but Dad would mean he was still alive in the first one. And Jack Lemmon became Bill Cosby when he was dead.
Now, you say Jack Lemmon, and in my head, the only thing I'm thinking of, because I don't know who that is like a combined baby between Jack Donaghy and Liz Lemmon on the hit TV show 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm. That is... Well, okay, so their baby went backwards in time and grew up to the point where he was, 100 years old in 1980.
Is this the baby that Jack Donaghy and Liz Lemon had, or Alec Baldwin and Tina Fey?
No, this is Baby New Year. Okay. Keep up.
Okay.
Baby New Year and Rudolph fuck, right? Mm-hmm. And they give birth.
It's a given.
They give their unholiest of unions gives rise to Ted Danson. possibly better known by his stage name, Cheers, Damages McBecker.
Becker. Becker's pretty good. He's the doctor.
Possibly also known in Christian circles as the Antichrist.
God, this sounds like this sounds like a Zelda timeline.
Remember when you asked me to save us from the downward spiral and I just fucking jumped right in?
you yanked out that cork. You just yanked out that cork.
We suddenly somehow became an episode of Slightly Burned Pants for no reason. Jack Lemmon was the anti-Cheers. And that was the only thing that could bring down McBecker, the anti-Cheers.
Did you say McBecker? So McBecker?
McBecker, yeah. Yeah, Cheers McBecker.
So that's
it. Dancing.
So that's what you've been playing, huh?
I've been playing the game where you play Jack Lemmon in his final battle against Cheers McBecker. But it's got a sad ending, though, because he dies in the original timeline, but in the second timeline comes back as Bill Cosby, as Ghost Dad. And that's how you get the sequel to Dad, which is Ghost Dad.
Uh-huh.
And in which case, the battle between Cheers and anti-Cheers created a ripple through time space, and that created the alternate universe B, which is Ghost Dad universe. All right.
Okay.
It's just check my Tumblr, guys.
I'm about to blow your mind. The Mala Jam earlier this year had one of the games that came out of it: Ghost Dad 2: Cats vs Merlins. I'm sending you the link right now. This is a thing. Let me read the description for you guys. Description: an exploration of the Jungian model of psychic introspection and projection of insecurities onto Merlins who chase you around the room. You are Ghost Dad of three daughters who have three cats who you must use to scare the collective unconsciousness of your soul away. It uses your voice to attract and repel your fears, fantasies, delusions, and cats.
Right. Now, picture that, but replace the cats with Jack Lemmon.
Uh-huh.
And you have the fight between Cheers and anti-Cheers, McBecker.
Cheers and anti-Cheers.
McBecker. Christ.
So what have you really been playing, though? What have you really been playing?
Me or Mike Bachman? Michael Bachman.
How about Michael? Let's go to Michael Bachman. One.
Michael Bachman, as he is better known.
Why are you going to me first?
Just pick a game.
Have you played video games?
Just pick a game.
What's that? Have I played video games? I have played video games. I'm very good at it. The best.
Have I played video games? I'm very good at it.
The greatest, and some say the greatest. Others would dispute. Would dispute this claim.
Most would dispute.
You were the fun fact. You were the kid from the wizard with the power glove.
Hey, I'm so bad.
You put some weight on.
Whenever some
my power glove doesn't fit anymore.
I'm living pretty healthy nowadays. And when I say nowadays, I mean for the past like 3 days.
So literally nowadadays.
Uh-huh. Now a day.
Now,
it's more like now a day.
Now a few days.
Now a day.
Mike
Bachman is so good at video games. When people ask him, Mike, what's your favorite game? He says, all of them. Mike, what games?
Oh,
that
joke works on so many levels.
There was a longer punchline, but it would probably take about 15 minutes of your time.
Okay.
So we'll pass. Tell
us. Mike Bachman, you're getting fit in the hours. So has that translated into better video game skills? And what skills have you been flexing those like big thumb muscles on?
Well, I'll tell you what it is that like, you know, when I work out, I feel better about myself. And so when I sit down, to play a video game, I don't have that overwhelming sense of guilt and sadness.
Right. Otherwise known as the entire box of cheeses in one sitting effect.
Actually, there's a word for what not like being comfortable with your physical appearance does to your game playing skills. And it's called sad thumbs.
Sad thumbs.
Yep, I get a nasty case of sad thumbs where my thumbs get all droopy.
Do you guys remember the I think it was the Blockbuster commercials or whatever it was from way back in the day? That had the I've been playing too many video games, and it zooms in on the guy's hand, and his thumb is like two times the size of his head.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's kind of like when my mom told me that cracking your knuckles will give you little hands.
That bitch was wrong.
Mine always just said they would give you arthritis, which is in fact true.
No, it's not.
I know it's not.
I was gonna say I read Reader's Digest that that's not true.
Oh, so you know it's true. Well, you know, symptoms of arthritis do include the olds. So that might be why you were reading Reader's Digest in the first place.
Nobody cares if you get published in medical journals. They only care if you get, like, published right after Laughter, the Best Medicine.
Mm-hmm. If you get published in the credits of Patch Adams. Retroactively.
You know you've made it.
On the 30th anniversary Blu-ray.
Do you guys want to give my third attempt to tell you what I've been
playing?
Yeah,
let's try it. Let's give it a shot.
First, I think I should point out that one symptom of the most tragic symptom of sad thumbs is the uncontrollable urge to draw caricatures of Marcel Marceau on your fingers.
I thought you were gonna say Marcel the Shell.
I don't know what that is.
Marcel the Shell with shoes on?
Yes.
How do you not know what that is? Oh, we'll have to. It's so
video games.
Okay.
Stop this podcast. Do a search.
No. I know what you're talking about. I think like a child showed me that once. It was, you know, it was.
It was me. It was me.
You were the child.
I was
both
the
child that showed me that, and both the, and the child in the video.
Sometimes people say my head is too big for my body, and then I say, compared to what?
Yeah, just quoting YouTube videos now. Yeah,
It's over. Okay. Here's what I've been playing. And actually, there's a little story. I've been playing Dust 514.
Oh, okay. 514. All right.
Mm-hmm. And now, as it's pronounced in Icelandic.
Yeah. See, here's what happened is that I was like a buddy of mine. He got into the beta. Or I thought that like everybody in the PlayStation Plus was in, but this is actually a few days after that ended. So he must have had like another beta invite. So I was like, oh well, I'll go home and I'll download that, and then I'll play with you. And I went home to download it.
They've been giving those things out like candy.
Right. See, here's the thing is that I didn't have one. I checked the email that I thought I'd signed up with, and it wasn't there. And I was just like, well, whatever. I'll get the mercenary pack because that comes with a few like extra goodies or whatever, and that gets me.
You had to steal that mercenary pack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You stole it from a real group of mercenaries.
Yes.
Anyway, continue.
No. So yeah, it was like $20. And comes with some stuff.
The only time that Mike can ever communicate with other humans is when his sighs have when he comes to the end of a sigh and his voice can be heard on normal human hearing and the normal range of human hearing. At all other times, he's completely inaudible, so we can only catch him in between sighs.
The expulsion of air winds my gears back up. I'm like a watcher. I'm a clockwork man, actually.
I was about to say, you are the world's first and greatest clockwork man, the greatest creation of Dr. Cosby, the grandfather of Cosby the Ghost Dad.
My name... Mike Bachman is actually my second name. My first name is Huxtable. That's what they called me for the longest time.
But no.
Okay. So
quick before you have to sigh again.
Anyway,
before Dally chimes in with Bachwork man. Ah.
This is the worst show on the internet. So I picked it up and started playing, and then like I played for maybe like 10 minutes, and then I actually went and looked in my side questing email and saw that I'd been emailed a beta code like 3 weeks before. And I was like, so that was a waste. But I kind of like it. The only thing is it's really tough to tell at this point whether or not it's going to be good because none of the interconnectivity between Eve is up yet. And I think there's really only like one planet.
That is untrue. What? It is not connected with the main Eve Tranquility server, but it is connected to CC, to the Singularity server, the test server, the beta server on the thing. So you cannot do like the orbital strikes and things from within Eve or anything like that, but you can communicate with the people within Eve online. So none of the gameplay stuff is in there yet, but the economic stuff is currently working to an extent.
Now, the stuff, maybe you can tell me this because I haven't read a whole lot about it, but like the stuff that you buy, is that actually like, is the marketplace, does that work pretty much the same as it does in Eve? Do like players in Eve have to create that stuff for Dust, or is it just that stuff's available in the shops?
Yes and no. Cause in Eve Online, players have to create it or loot it. As far as I can tell, at least for now in Dust, you can only loot the items. I think that currently they have just flooded the marketplace with like a bunch of their own created ones, but I think once the game launches, it will be just like entirely player driven. You get items through salvage at the end of fights. You get random loot drops basically, and then you can use those or sell those on the marketplace and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that. Mm-hmm. So I think that was how the economy will end up shaking up eventually, because the economy when the full game launches will be tied in directly, like the money, the ISK, the in-game currency that you accumulate in Dust514 can be traded into EVE Online and vice versa. Those two marketplaces will be interconnected. So they would not be able to, so introducing a computer-generated marketplace would unbalance the EVE Online marketplace, which I can't imagine they would be willing to do.
Well, that and they're resetting things in, while it's in beta, every like couple weeks or 2 or 3 weeks, something like that, they reset the stats in Dust. So I mean that alone, I'm sure they reset the marketplace and everything else, that's gonna mess with Eve as well if it were connected at this point. So
yeah, it is connected. It's just like I said, it's connected to the test server, which they don't give a fuck. So.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's so it's cool. I mean it's very Battlefield. I mean that's pretty much what's going on. It doesn't quite have the diversity that Battlefield's got. I mean, it's just in terms of vehicles and things like that. But I'm really interested to see what they do with it, because I mean, there's how many thousands of ships in EVE Online?
And probably more like, if you're talking sheer ships, you're probably talking more like millions or billions at this point, or hundreds.
Well, no, I'm talking about like different types of ships.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know what the actual like figures are, but there's a ton, and there's maybe like two of each type of vehicle in Dust right now. And I'm kind of wondering if they're going to expand on that later, in the same way that they expand on it in EVE.
Right. Like the number of ships in EVE Online currently is like much greater than it was at the launch of that game. So,
right. Yeah. It's nuts. The kind of some of the complaints that I've got about it, well, really just one main complaint, and that's that the maps are kind of bland.
Yeah, they're all kind of randomly generated based on the in-game planets.
Yeah, so exactly. That's kind of where that is. I think there's only one planet open right now in the beta. I don't think that you can actually go to different ones, because I mean, it'd be nice even if like the sky was a different color or something. Yeah. To give you the feel that you're actually on all these different planets with different atmospheres and attributes and things like that.
And I imagine that'll have to happen eventually, because in EVE Online, I think what it'll be based on is like not on the individual planets themselves, but on the style of planet, which in EVE Online, there are different planets can produce different resources and stuff like that. But there are planets called like plasma planets and magma planets and desert planets and sea planets, you know, ocean planets and stuff like that. I have to imagine that the map structure in the final Dust 1.5.1.4 game will be based on those subset types. I'm sorry, I'm just kind of providing color commentary.
I was kind of hoping you would, because just been playing a little bit.
I just want to point out one thing is like something I'm really excited to see, like a plasma planet, which looks crazy. It's like this lightning ion storm going on constantly across the entire planet. And if they could work that into Dust 5.1.4, and if that is like their eventual end goal here is to make all these different maps based on those different planet types, that would look really cool. But I agree, the one map is kind of, you know, bland.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. There hasn't been a whole lot of lag. I mean, like performance wise, the game's been running pretty well. There's been I've had some random freezing issues. I mean, this is all beta, so I mean, you know, obviously this is all expected. Is there an ETA for when the full game's actually supposed to be out?
I think the original statement was summer, but I think they're kind of running out of summer.
All right, Steven, you're kind of breaking up a little bit, buddy.
But probably I would guess this year. I mean, it's almost got to be this year.
Yeah. I mean,
oh shit.
I can see Skype cleared up now. You're doing fine now.
I saw Skype was freaking out. Okay. Yeah. So this, I don't know how much you heard, but I said this. Probably this year, probably pretty soon, considering they're the closest they've come to a solid release date is summer. So, like, I'm not sure when the equinox is exactly, but I'd be willing to guess sometime. I would probably guess no later than October. But we'll see.
Yeah. The thing that I'm kind of trying to figure out right now is that the drop suits, basically, which is just your loadout, basically. I mean, you wear a drop suit, and it's got different slots, you know, kind of like flying a different ship in EVE.
It's almost identical in terms of the way you fit it.
Right, in that you've got shield extenders and, you know, and repair units and things like that. I mean, so I'm kind of wondering if you know, the combat... If there's like aspects of combat that are kind of similar, I mean, they've got active and passive shield tanking and things like that. Mm-hmm. Wondering if that's like a thing. Right now, none of the changes that I've made to my character seem to have made a whole lot of difference. Granted, right now I've only been using militia gear, which basically the militia gear just is usually like, you know, it's
junk gear.
Just like in EVE, you know, if you die, you actually lose the stuff that you've got, you know, that you're fitted with, which is, you know, why things aren't really all that expensive, you know, until you get up to like tanks and stuff like that. But like you lose the things that you were fitted with, and you have to, you know, restock those things. And you can do that right from the battlefield. You don't have to, you know, fly across the galaxy to pick stuff up.
one cool thing that they did, like they introduced later, which they wasn't in the beta originally, is that you can create custom like loadouts for your character and then save those custom loadouts And then if you die and lose all of your gear enough times, you can buy like 50 of that same loadout. Like you can just buy all those items. But the way you can do it is if you have that loadout saved and you already know what you want, you can just hit like one button and it'll just buy all of those items in that loadout for you all at the same time at the lowest lowest available price.
Right.
And then you can, if you lose them all again on the battlefield, you can just buy like, you know, you hit one button and then say, hey, I want 50 of these, and then you can die 50 times with that same loadout and still maintain the same stuff. You
exactly.
still have enough money.
And I've been kind of like, just to avoid spending money early on, I've been just using all militia gear, because militia gear, you don't have to repurchase that. It's still,
that's what they give you if you run out of stuff completely.
Yeah. Exactly. It's kind of like the starter ships in EVE or whatever.
Velator and stuff, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and so far it's been, you know, my performance with that crappy gear has been similar to my performance in every other online FPS that I play, is that my KD is usually like 1.0. Just like, you know, I die just about as much as I kill people. And if I can do that in just the regular militia gear, I don't know if everybody else is still just using militia gear or if, you know, or if just it really doesn't make that much of a difference. But I would hope that like the ammunition types that you're using and like, you know, the way that you set your loadout would really make a difference, and that some people would be ineffective against other people.
I imagine it will. I think the problem is that because they keep, like you mentioned, that because they keep wiping the character progress, all of the your ability to use all of this gear is tied to your real time training on your character. So all your skills, you can only use, you know the really good gear if you're at a certain level. And since they wipe the player progress after, you know, every couple of weeks, no, like my guess is that nobody has like the really, really great stuff except for like maybe a couple days every month or so, and then it gets wiped and everybody's back down to the junk gear again.
Right. One of the things I'm kind of worried about is that like the store is open and you can actually you can purchase things. Obviously I purchased the mercenary pack and you can assign those things to a character. But I haven't been able to find a definitive answer on this yet. Some people I've, you know, heard saying that, you know, once the game actually launches, everything that you purchased, you know, because obviously it resets at launch, you'll get all that stuff back.
From the all the stuff you purchased in the mercenary pack?
Yeah, all the stuff that you've purchased.
Yes, all the stuff you purchased with real money does, when you get all that stuff back when the game officially launches, yeah.
Okay, and that's good, because I've actually, like, you know, because they're resetting characters, and one of the things that you get in the mercenary pack is like a 30-day booster. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I don't want to use that if, you know, it's going to be gone when the actual game comes out because they're resetting stats. I'm sure that they're giving all that stuff back.
Yeah, in the original press release for the mercenary pack, I've been following this probably a lot longer than most people, because people within the CCP infrastructure are aware of me. I've been playing EVE Online for many, many years, for many, many, many hours, you know, like almost 1,000 hours, I think, I have logged into EVE Online and stuff. So I was in the beta pretty early on, and I've been following it pretty closely. In that first, very, very first press release detailing the mercenary pack, I do remember specifically reading that, yeah, it did.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I feel better about using things then. But yeah, no, I mean,
it'd be really shitty if they did not.
Yeah, like, it'd be the worst. It'd be the worst. But it's like better safe than sorry. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. It's, you know, it says work in progress at the top of the screen, and that's clearly what it is.
Do you find it really hard to tell if you're hitting guys?
You know, actually, that's the thing, is when I first saw it over at my buddy's house, he was playing it, and that's kind of the impression that I got. It was like, and I don't know. I almost wonder if it was just the lag that he was getting at his place, because I don't have that problem at home. And I played it there and I played it here, and I experienced it there, but not at my house.
I have not played it in a few weeks, not since I played it right before the embargo lifted on the previews, and I wrote my preview, and I haven't touched it since.
Right.
But at that point, I was having huge difficulty telling if I was actually hitting dudes or not and stuff like that. And it seemed like, according to, you know, the PR people, it sounded like that was a problem they were aware of and that they were trying to address. So it is possible that it has just been straight up patched out. You know, it has been ironed out in the development process. So
I kind of wonder what the exposure is for this game, too, because like I'm finding more and more people that I talk to who haven't heard of it. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I would prefer, you know, kind of like EVE, I would prefer a game that's really, really deep and has a small dedicated community than like a game that's, you know, that's accessible and you know, millions of people play it, like Call of Duty or something like that.
I think you'll. I think you'll see a ton of people come in right at the launch because the game will be free to play when it launches.
Mm-hmm.
That will drop. You know, just like any game, that'll drop off. But I think the drop off will be much more substantial because of the fact that the game is. I mean, it's not EVE level complicated, but it is.
It's pretty complicated, and I think that's the thing. It's like I would have been way more lost than I am if I hadn't played EVE first.
Right, because a lot of the interfaces and a lot of the menus, like straight up the way your loadout looks, a lot of the item descriptions are straight up taken from EVE. Mm-hmm. Like EVE is a really good precursor to playing just 514.
That's there's no decent way to compare gear.
Oh, to one thing to the other?
Right.
Even when you
go into, you know how like in EVE, you can, if you're looking at an item or at like, if you're a certain piece of equipment, you can look at like variations.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually like, you know, select those and find the attributes for those variations. In Dust, you can look at the list of variations, but you can't actually select any of those to get more detail.
Really? Okay.
You can't compare something in the marketplace to something you're already wearing. You'd have to back out of the marketplace, go look at what you're wearing.
I seem to remember thinking that too. Like, but I think I remembered asking somebody about that at one point. I think I maybe asked Sean Norton about that. And I think there is a way to do what you know, kind of what you're describing, which is to compare it to stuff in the marketplace. But I think it's kind of obtuse, and it doesn't actually ever tell you that. I think it's like you have to hit like L2 and R2 or something at the same time.
I think that's just as bad as it not being in the game at all.
Yeah, basically. You know? I mean, this is still a beta,
obvious,
though.
And you know, yeah,
this is still a beta, and this is a beta in the. I said this in my preview. This is a beta in the traditional sense of a beta. This is not a beta in the sense of like a demo.
Right. It's not a pre-order bonus or whatever. But the point. I mean, the point of beta is to uncover problems like this. So it's still worth talking about.
And the EVE guys, or the CCP guys, if you look at EVE as an example, are big, like, they have a good track record on updating the shit out of their games nonstop. I think, like, EVE Online is on its 17th free expansion pack right now, you know? And,
right.
And that's not including, like, all of the major, like, content patches and, like, sub expansions that they release around there all the time and stuff like that. So... odds are that will most of these problems will probably be ironed out before the beta, and even if they aren't, they will continue to be ironed out and stuff like that. And it will be free to play too. So if you can try it out and play it yourself, and you know, if the experience is not entirely stellar, you are not out anything either, unless you really invest in the in-game.
Well, and that's the thing is, I think like. You know, if they do the interconnectivity with EVE really well, then I would feel much better about investing in that game rather than, you know, investing in a lot of other like free to play games. Mm-hmm. So
the thing I constantly hear is I constantly hear people saying that they don't give a shit about EVE Online, you know, actually playing it, but they love that world. Mm-hmm. And so what they're really hoping to do with Dust 514 is get a taste of that world because they love to hear stories about it. I think that's the exact quote all the time. Is like, I have no interest in playing EVE Online, but I always like to hear about people playing EVE Online.
Right.
And I think depending on how well these two worlds are connected, I think that is what you'll see from a lot of people, from a lot of the enthusiast crowd, is a lot of people who are not into EVE, but want to be a part of that crazy giant universe. And coming, get their slice, you know, so. Yeah.
Sweet.
It's interesting, but we'll see.
Yeah, yep. I mean, it's going to be a pretty cool product, I think, in the end, hopefully. And it's I want to see more of these kinds of cross-functional products where you have, you know, one type of game and another type of game, and they're in the same universe and they interact somehow.
Man,
Dolly, that response is pretty much exactly how I respond to football conversations.
Exactly.
You know, they were a decent team. They had a good year, you know.
They made the foot down on the touch ball grass.
You know, they got out there and they played hard, and in the end, that's all you can really ask.
They gave it 107%. man, the minute EVE Online and Dust 514 support like Oculus Rift, like we have reached the singularity. We have reached the game.
You know, isn't it funny how Oculus Capricorn. Rift, something that people would have probably laughed at about 3 years ago, is now like the hottest shit, the hottest crazy ass hardware out there, right?
It's like the Arthur C. Clarke quote. It's like, we'll invent space elevators 50 years after everybody stops laughing. You just have to you have to get the idea out there long enough for people to just get over it, and then suddenly it becomes the coolest thing ever. Because of course, space elevators sound awesome. Like once you get over the fact that it is a thing called a space elevator, when you think about it.
Why would I want to get over that? That's awesome.
Yeah. No. Once you get over the joke, the funniness. Of the term space elevator, I think maybe it's a fucking.
Have metaphor. You been playing anything else, Mike Bachman?
Yeah, but I mean, this has gone on long enough. I'm not gonna.
This
talk
has
about
gone
it.
On. Steven, what have you been playing, buddy? Old pal, old buddy, old pal.
Okay.
Old pal, buddy.
I have been playing.
Emphasis on the old.
You getting ready for the Steve Strom slam poetry slam off?
Quake 3
guys
arena.
Slamming guys.
Grabbing stuff.
You've been playing Jazz Jackrabbit.
Jazz Jackrabbit. Robbit. No, wait. What's the name? Jumping Flash? Is that where Robbit is from? Jumping Flash? Is that the game that Robbit is from? The robot rabbit? Jumping Flash?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I'm...
Don't you guys, feel dumb.
You old... I figured the olds would know about it. I've been playing Magic the Gathering 2013, The World Ends With You, Valkyrie Chronicles 2, Darksiders 2, Super Hexagon, Jet Set Radio, other games. Guys, I play everything. Oh, I Platinum Sound Shapes. How about that?
Nice.
I got all of the trophies in the Sound Shapes. Man, Death Mode is hard. Have you played Death Mode at all, Dally?
No, I haven't. I haven't gotten that far.
It unlocks when you beat the game.
Right.
Every level has like a Death Mode variant, which is just this like little one screen stage where you have like a limited amount of time to collect a certain number of coins, and meanwhile there's a bunch of hazards and stuff that are progressively trying to kill you and whatnot. And it's the worst part of that game, and I was kind of reticent to admit this at first, because and the reason it is the worst part, because I actually really liked it in theory right when I first started playing them, because I liked that whole like testing myself to like get my jumps down just perfectly and stuff like that. I think that's really interesting. You have to like get it down to a science every stage. Like okay, when this coin pops up, I need to grab, jump here. I need to have my free reflexes toned to the perfect, the perfect pitch and everything like that to get around and get this done, get 16 coins in 36 seconds or whatever. And like, okay, I can't take more than 2 seconds to grab this coin after I grab this coin, that sort of thing. The problem with all of this is that the coins, the locations that they spawn in are entirely randomly generated. And so what you can run into is literally like, you'll play it one time, and you'll grab all the coins, and you'll have like 10 seconds to spare. And it's like, oh, that's stupid easy. But there's like 35 times right before that where you reach the end of the time limit, and there's like 10 coins still left because like the coins just keep, they're randomly generated, so they will appear on one side of the map, and then you just have to basically traverse all of that distance, and then they will appear right where you were at the very beginning, so you have to keep going back and forth and back and forth, and sometimes they'll just appear like one after another after another after another right next to each other every single time, and then it just kind of completely destroys any kind of like self-competitive nature, like any kind of idea of improving, and it just becomes like grinding almost, like just gotta keep playing until I get like 4 coins in a row so that I can shave 10 seconds off of my time, so I have enough time to finish this thing. And they have one for each and every single level in that game, and each and every single one of those stages is attached to a trophy, and so doing all that to get the trophy was a real pain in the ass, and I did not like it. Now comparatively something that was much better is there's another mode called Beat School, which is literally like it's teaching me how to beat.
How to beat school, really.
It was teaching me how to beat like Chris Brown. Keeping it topical. Man, did you guys see that thing about his tattoo?
Nope.
No, Dally, did you really? Did you not?
Nope.
Chris Brown got a tattoo of like a battered woman's face on his neck.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, huh?
I seen it on TMZ.
No, there are images of this thing floating around on the internet, and it looks incredibly like Rihanna, but he has gone on the record, and his PR people have gone on the record saying, like, it's not Rihanna. So, you know.
It's another battered woman.
It's another battered woman, so that makes it cool. There, I mean, you can see it online. He's not making a secret of it. He's
supposedly
like
it's supposedly I just found information on starpulse.com, our sister site, starpulse.com. It says the tattoo artist who etched a Day of the Dead sugar skull on Chris Brown's neck. It's a Day of the Dead sugar skull. Media outlets scrutinizing photographs of the new skin art suggested it resembled a photo of Rihanna's beaten face. Blah, 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 blah.
Look at that fucking tattoo and tell me that that is not what it looks like.
He said it was a copy of a MAC or MAC cosmetic design he spotted in a magazine piece about the Mexican festival.
Does it have an image of the tattoo?
Yeah, actually, it shows his face. It shows a tattoo there.
What do you think?
It looks like a Mexican Day of the tattoo. At least this shot of it does.
I don't know, man. He wasn't saying nothing about no Day of the Dead tattoo. When that story first broke, he was just all that was going around is like people them saying it's not Rihanna or you know whatever. There was no mention
of
any.
It just looks
like
it looks like a zombie. I guess you could say it looks like kind of like a half faced eaten.
Yeah, it looks like a zombie to you now that somebody has said that. But like for like the first week after that story broke, nobody said anything about no zombies or Day of the Dead anything. Like this is some made up bullshit. come on, Dally. Wake up, sheeple. Read my Tumblr.
Sheeple.
Anyway, Beat School's cool. It's Sound Shapes. It basically teaches you how to use, you know, completely based on like auditory perception. It teaches you how to do the create. Let me start over. It teaches you how to make rhythm or different rhythms and different beats within the with the coins for your own user generated levels. But it's just one white screen, and you just have to listen to the beat that it plays a certain beat, and you have to match that beat by placing coins on the screen. But the screen is entirely white, just like a white grid, and so you just have to you know that at the bottom of the screen is a greater beat is a lower note, and at the top of the screen is a higher note, and so you just have to listen to the note the beat that keeps playing over and over and over and over again. And kind of guess as to where you think that beat will go and place it there. And then it will tell you if you put it there correctly or not. And so you have to just time it out and play it entirely literally by ear. It's really, really helpful in making your own user-generated music for the levels and stuff like that. So that's actually really cool. But Death Mode was not super cool. But every Beat Mode level also has a trophy attached to it too. So I did all that. Got the Platinum in Sound Shapes. That was pretty cool. I really like that game still. I think it's still one of the best games on Vita. I have not played. It's the other one. The new Little Big Planet is coming out eventually too. I've heard good things about that too. It's people saying that that's the best game on Vita right now. So I'll have to try that out sometime too for comparison.
Yeah, well, that released early. That released early. So
it released, or was it just like released to the press?
No. I bought it at GameStop after I found out that they had allowed the street date to be broken officially. So you can actually run a GameStop right now. I think it's the only place that has it. You can pick it up. I think they even have it listed online. No, it's still sitting in my card because I haven't had a chance to crack it open because I got on this damn podcast. But let me check here.
You leave things in your car in Detroit?
Oh, my God. I don't live in Detroit. But even then, it's safer than Nebraska or wherever you went. You live
wherever.
Well,
I know,
statistically speaking, you're safer in a car than in a plane or in a plane.
Yeah, there you go. It still says 25th, but it is available at GameStop. So if you run to your local GameStop tomorrow morning, you can pick it up.
Okay, cool. I'm not going to do that because that's a GameStop.
Ooh, burns. Cool.
Where does that come from? Burns.
That's Simpsons.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were booing Mr. Burns, and Homer was. Mr. Burns said, "Why are they booing me?" He said, "They're not booing you. They're saying boo Earns, boo Earns."
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. I've been playing some more Darksiders 2. I'm really enjoying that game. It's like a slow burn. I'll sit down and I'll play like one or two dungeons of that game, and then come back. Man. The more I play it, the more I think that I just feel like Darksiders 2 is a perfect game. Like it is, or at least so close to a perfect game as it almost makes no difference. I really love that game. I think the combat is great. I think the traversal is great. I think the loot is always pretty cool. Death is a great character. Their portrayal of him is really, like, I really still love that snide, snarky version of him, and the kind of things that they put him through are kind of dealing with that as well.
You know it's coming out to Wii U, right?
You can always wait till then.
Why would I do that?
Just hold out, man. It's almost out.
I have been playing it for the past month or so on my PC, which
it's not
does
my
not
fault.
Like
you're spoiling it for yourself.
Spoiling the true experience that will be the Wii version, the Wii U version. Speaking of Wii U, how about we start talking about the Wii U? Which
how about we don't? Because I still have my games to talk about.
You play games?
I play games.
Anything.
So I had some good matches of words with friends this week. No,
okay,
actually, I have been playing a couple games. One is, I think I mentioned Transformers Prime the last episode. Or no, I did not mention Transformers Prime.
Transformers Fall of Cybertron.
That's what I mentioned. No, Transformers Fall of Cybertron.
Fall of Cybertron.
If I may or may not have mentioned it the last episode, who knows? But I am playing it now. I'm really enjoying it. I have the review all written up. I've just got to actually send it over to Ryan and have him edit.
Super good, yeah.
Yeah, it's the way I describe it in my review is I kind of allude to the fact that when we were younger, you know, like preteens, whatever, kids that are in the single-digit
like
ages. Steven's age. We would play with Transformers toys. Well, you get older and you kind of go away from actually playing with those toys, and you start just and you collect them. So now they're figurines. They're no longer action toys. They're figurines. But Transformers feels like you're playing with action toys again as an adult, and it's acceptable. So yeah, I think that's kind of the vibe I got. I was actually able to play with action figures again. In the Transformers Fall of Cybertron. But what really made it interesting was the multiplayer, because the multiplayer has pretty much the majority of the typical modes you'd expect, but because you can somewhat create a robot and face off against your friends and all that kind of stuff, there's just something about it that has been super easy to pick up and play, and you know, the multiplayer is a lot of fun.
So have you some multiplayer?
Yeah, give it a shot. It's pretty solid. All your favorite modes are there. They put in 110% in designing it.
All your favorite modes are in this game. You get them all. We got the deathmatch. We got the team deathmatch. You can capture flags.
No, but the multiplayer, they got some pretty cool modes in there. And there actually seems to be quite a thriving community, because it never seems like there's any wait to play. Even though I guess the game hasn't sold very well. But yeah, it never seems like there's a wait to play. So.
You know, that's another thing too, is that those MPDs came out. Was that last week or was that this week?
Last week. No,
last week.
Yeah, like the end of last week, I think.
End of last week. Okay. Yeah. Those came out and still don't include like Steam and digital numbers. Now, I don't know about you're playing it on 360.
PS3.
Now, is that another one of the ones that's day and date available on digital as well?
You know, I couldn't tell you actually. I don't know. I haven't hooked up my PS3 online in a while, actually. So,
okay. Because that's something I'm interested. I would be interested in seeing how well that game sold online and whatnot. So, because Borderlands 2 is going to be released day and date. They just announced a couple days ago.
Cool.
I think it was today, but that'll be announced. That'll be a release day and date on Tuesday. So that might be out by now by the time this podcast
This podcast will go up tomorrow, whenever tomorrow is.
Okay.
Whenever tomorrow comes. So yeah, I've been playing that. I really enjoy it. And then I also picked up 10 Million for the iOS device. Have you guys heard of 10 Million?
I played that too. I beat it.
So have I. So it's Just as a quick recap, in case you may have not heard about it yet, it's a really simple. I think it's like $1.99 or something.
It's $2. Yeah.
Is it two? Yeah. So no, it's not $2. It's $1.99. So it's just kind of the simple retro 8-bit style visually, retro 8-bit style game. And it's just a grinding game. It's really all you do is you grind. But it's an RPG. Let me phrase
it's
it. Not
it's
really
a match 3 game.
Yeah, it's not really an RPG. It's kind of like Puzzle Quest.
No. I said a match 3, not an RPG.
Right. So it's Puzzle Quest.
But it's not Puzzle Quest because it's sliding. You slide the columns and rows of icons. Dally, you just go sit in your old man rocking chair quick and let baby New Year take over for you, okay, baby?
Baby New Year. So okay, the game has you matching 3 icons, and these icons are attacks or defense or whatever. And
match 3 swords. To
match 3 swords, match 3, yeah, match 3.
Match 3 keys to open a chest.
Exactly. And so you can build up gold. Obviously, you can get gold as well, open up treasure chests, blah, blah, blah. And the goal of the game is to rack up 10 million points. So you start off initially by going through the first kind of run of the game. And you'll probably die after your second or third battle, which is fine. You wake up in your bed in your dungeon, and you now have some gold that you've accrued, and you can go open up.
Man,
you can go.
I can't tell you how many times I've woken up on my bed in my dungeon with an extra couple of gold in my pocket, not remembering what happened.
Gold that you have accrued, and so you can you can upgrade your stats, and then you go back out grinding through enemies again. It's almost like. It's slightly turn-based, but mostly automatic. Like kind of those free-running games, almost like a free-running RPG game.
It is Catapult-esque.
Yeah, exactly. But
you're constantly pushing to the right, and then the game is constantly trying to push you back to the left. And if you get pushed all the way back to the left, you die and go back to your dungeon. And
but
so
it's
the only
super
way to
easy
keep
to play.
Forward.
It's super easy, and it's almost like you don't want to. Sorry, guys. Just got my Torchlight 2 code. Anyway, so yeah,
this podcast is over.
It's very easy to play. So
shut it down. Yeah. It is super easy to play. There's no real skill involved in that game. It is super fun, and it is super kind of rewarding in a like carrot on a stick kind of sense. But there is no skill involved. It is basically just keep holding down or keep making matches until you get to 10 million points, and then you beat the game, and then you're done. And it's just crazy overwhelming.
Underwhelming. I mean, there's no real ending to this game. It's super simple, but it's just kind of addictive because you're constantly grinding. I don't know. I find it addictive.
I was really upset when I beat it, though, because, it is literally that, immediate dopamine rush that you get off of, I've gotten more points, I've gotten enough gold to unlock a new weapon or whatever. That ends so quickly, because the game is actually kind of really short, too. Getting 10 million points does not take super long.
No.
And by the time and you unlock all of the stuff that there is to unlock way before you get to the 10 million points.
By the time I had unlocked everything, 10 million was the next step. I was actually able to get 10 million almost right after that.
I unlocked all my stuff way early, way, way quicker. So I was playing for a long time with no extra carrot on the stick.
The big change that I ended up making, because I was only getting like 4 million or 3 million, 4 million, was to use the potions and use some of the special effects that allowed me to get more points. Because once you open up everything, there's no need to get the wood and the stone. So you just drop in the potion. It gets you like 15% extra, and you can blow through that 10 million pretty quickly.
I tried like the first potion once, then I completely forgot about it. I turned it off and never messed with it again. So
10 million.
That's
really enjoyed it. It's an absolutely great bathroom stall game. Great bathroom game.
What's it called again?
10 million. 10 0 0 0 0
7
0.
Zeros.
Yeah.
One, like the numeral 1 and then 7 zeros.
So they wanted to make it pretty easy to search for, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is really stupid difficult to search for, actually. Yeah, just got to remember it's like 7. I think it's 7 zeros. It might be 6 zeros.
Just remember 10 million.
Like just type in the words 10 million and see what you get.
I was not too good with numbers.
How about we type in the words Wii U?
Neither of those are real words. One is a letter.
That is correct. News this week. The well, we won't get into the iPhone stuff because I'm sure we're all buying a new iPhone anyways. Did you pre-order yours, Mike?
I didn't because I'm actually not due for an upgrade until December.
Do you have the 4 or do you have the 3G?
I have the 4.
Okay.
But actually what I'm going to try and do, my roommate's had some luck with this with his phone company, which is not Verizon, but we'll try it anyway. If I call and complain enough, they might let me upgrade early. So I'm going to try and do that.
You'll be able to. It's usually like 18 months.
The thing is, I've had such a, like, my screen's been, like, literally destroyed for about 6 months, and I've just been like, well, I'll be upgrading soon.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing your phone at PAX East.
Yeah, holy crap. It still looks like that. Actually, it's worse. I've dropped it again since then, and another chunk of glass is broken off.
That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of shocking how many industries in this world you can, like, get them to back down on and let you do stuff that you probably shouldn't be able to do, or at least by their standards.
Yeah, the telecom industry. Yep.
Yeah, or not. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, if you include, satellite industries, you know, stuff like that.
TV, cable, yep.
Yeah, but how much you can accomplish just by calling up and being persistent and not having a shred of, like, self-consciousness about, like, being a jerk.
I'm going to drop some knowledge on you. I had something happen a while back with my bank where they just royally dicked me over. And my roommate tipped me off to this because he's like an asshole to companies. But he told me to just go on like Reuters.com and look at their like executive list, get their main switchboard number, and then just start calling them right down the list. And it worked. I ended up getting to like the vice president's secretary, but she fixed my problem for me.
Nice.
It was stupid.
It is. On the one hand, it is ridiculous that being an asshole works at all, and on the other hand, it is ridiculous that you have to be, that is what you have to go through to get anything done in almost every kind of industry.
At some point, I mean, you start working like with these higher ups, and you know they get paid obscene amounts of money an hour, and it starts to cost them more to deal with you over and over again than it is to just give you what you want. So.
And I don't know necessarily in the sense of the bank of the banks or anything like that, but I know in the like satellite cable kind of industry that their profit margins are so wide that like they can afford like not even the higher ups but just the peons can afford to or have the power to give you like crazy deals and stuff like that if you're just an asshole long enough, because their profit margins are so fucking wide that they can just throw that stuff away like candy if you ask for it. Mm-hmm. And just to keep you quiet, wake up, sheeple.
Yep.
Wake up, sheeple.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really
so anyways,
crazy.
The iPhone 5 apparently, we'll end it with basically saying it has succeeded in selling out its pre-orders faster than the iPhone 4S did. So.
What a surprise.
Yep. Anyways, let's get on to the real news of the week, the one that everybody was anticipating, of course.
Not Strom.
Wii U, Nintendo finally had their press conference to detail everything that everybody needed to know about the Wii U for the launch. So they gave
everything we needed to know about the Wii U. Except
everything
how the online connectivity works and how much the gamepads will cost. Oh, and you know what kind of services that they will provide. And
so you obviously didn't wait till I completed my sentence, but whatever.
No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, go ahead.
No, so what you know, it's what Nintendo wanted to tell us. Of course, you go to the press conference, and they
which is almost nothing.
No, they gave us the release date, which everybody thought it was going to be November 18th because all of their consoles have launched on that weekend. All their recent consoles, the GameCube, the Wii, and now this have all launched that weekend. I think even the DS came in around that time too. So November 18th, which I believe is a Sunday, 18th, regardless.
That's a weird day to release a console on a Sunday.
They've always released their consoles on Sundays though. They always release their games on Sundays, and
that's the day the Lord would want them to release their consoles.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And God said, "Let there be light swords."
I don't know if that joke works. let's workshop this.
Let's workshop this. So they announced two versions of the Wii U. Sorry,
Dally. They announced one version of the Wii U, and they announced one way that you can take that you can pay them $300 to take a shit in a box and give it to you.
Okay, so Negative Steven is being muted for the rest of his episode. Let me finish.
The $300
Steven.
Version is a piece of shit.
Let me finish it's the details. Joke. Let me finish the details, Steven.
Okay.
So, the $300, they announced two versions of the Wii U for sale. The white basic set, which is essentially the gamepad. I think you get an HDMI cable, which is interesting because it's the only console to come only with an HDMI cable. The other consoles still come with the AV cable,
which for some stupid reason. Retailers not happy about.
Yeah, the, going straight to HDMI, exactly. They are not happy about because they can't sell you an HDMI cable now.
An HDMI cable for $80
yeah,
or
exactly.
whatever
so,
they charge.
Amazon,
and then, yeah,
$2.
Exactly.
Yeah, come on, people. Wake up, sheeple.
And so it's gonna, it's actually come. The basic set is essentially their $299. It's their, you know, the starter set for those people who may be upgrading from a Wii to a Wii U.
Those people who do not have $50 sitting in their seat cushions.
The set that you'll want to get is the black or the I think they're calling it the deluxe set for $349.99. Let me mention that the base model has 8 gigabytes of hard drive space. The deluxe model has 32 gigabytes of hard drive space. And Nintendo keeps reaffirming you can use whatever freaking hard drive you want. Stop worrying about what's in the consoles because you're going to want to get your own damn hard drive anyways. So I'm all for that. I could have been happy with them putting 8 gigs on this stupid deluxe set and just plugging in my own, you know, 3 terabyte
hard
drive.
On the Wii?
You could do you couldn't do a hard drive on the Wii. You can do just the SD cards.
Okay, so it's the Wii and the PS3 are the ones you can do hard drives.
The Wii U and the PS3, you can do USB.
The Wii U and the PS3.
Yeah.
But you can't do that on the 360 either.
The 360, you can do a USB stick, but I think it's only up to a certain point, like a 16 or like a 32 gig or something, or 16 gig USB stick.
Man, I guess for some reason in my head, I just kind of assumed that it was ubiquitous at this point that everybody could just use an external hard drive on everything.
No, it's still, you know, pretty bizarre. I mean, you look at like hard drive costs right now, so. Sony is probably the worst out of all of them with the Vita's memory stick because they want to try to stay proprietary. By the way, it's been hacked. News there. It's on its way there. It'll be, you know, by Christmas time we'll be playing all our games. So
you mean you'll be playing all their games.
Exactly, I'll be playing all their games. The Xbox 360 definitely way overcharges for hard drives. The PS3 has been the only one that said, hey, you know what, you can take out this hard drive and pop in a new one if you want, with minimal
anybody's
effect.
Hard drive, yeah. Any kind of laptop hard drive.
And can you
I've seen people slapping solid state drives in there.
Yeah, can you do a USB hard drive on the PS3?
You can, I mean, yeah, like you actually
just plug in a USB hard drive and it works fine.
You can use an external hard drive, yeah.
Cool.
You can actually use them like just straight up like a PC. You can like if you have like a terabyte hard drive or whatever, you can back up your entire internal PS3 hard drive onto a external hard drive and then move it over to a new internal hard drive, just like on a PC.
So it just goes to show, and I mean, Sony just announced a 16 gigabit version, or they're announcing that super slim 16 gigabit version of the PS3.
Gigabyte,
whatever. So, I mean, I think its hard drive space is getting, I think we topped out with these 250s and such because people are just going to buy their own hard drives and pop them on there. Yeah. So anyway, the base model is 8 gig. The deluxe has 32 gigs of hard drive space and comes with everything that the base model did. But this is in black, shiny metal black. Oh, no, just shiny black, not metal. And it comes with a gamepad stand, a gamepad charging cradle, and a Wii U console stand.
And a copy of
Nintendo Land, which is their demo collection, pack-in collection thing. So, no
which
word at all.
Comes
on,
with a Metroid thing.
It comes with
which the, is the most exciting news of this entire story.
But that's not even really a Metroid thing, right?
It's not.
Let me,
it's not.
Just let me have this, Bachman.
No, because the Chase Me, I guess, was actually really fun too. We played the Chase Me at E3 a couple years ago, and it was actually pretty cool.
In the hotel room, you mean?
Hey-o. That was last year. That was last year. I got, because I, no, now it's just called Chase You.
Now what do I do with this boner?
Well, I got to
find
yeah.
a hole somewhere.
So Nintendo, it's, I don't think, I think we're all in agreement that they're not as captivating maybe as the Wii Sports were. Wii Sports was, because it was completely out of the blue and Nintendo Land.
Wii Sports was too captivating for its own good.
It's true. It's very true.
No. It had it coming with the way it dressed and everything. No, it's because all like the cat, all the casual, what's a short name for casual gamer? Like
casies.
Short derogatory
the casies.
Name.
Casies.
Okay. All the casies.
All the cash bros.
Well, all the cashies just like they bought it with their Wii Sports and then they never bought anything else.
Exactly.
And they just put their Wii in the closet.
Yep.
And it was just like,
yep. Oops.
Everybody's like, oh, I love the Wii. I love bowling. It's like, well, no, there's other shit. Like, play that. Don't fucking make everybody just create mini game collections. It's consumers' fault.
No, it's a Nintendo's fault.
Nope.
Nothing is ever Nintendo's fault, ever. You guys, come on.
Just.
They can't do any wrongs. Yeah. They made Super Mario Brothers 3.
Listen, Strom, vote with your wallet.
I'm going to by not buying this thing. I've been pretty adamant. Well, I'm going to probably buy one eventually, but I will not be buying it on before a price drop. I'll tell you that.
So, yeah.
Or unless a new Metroid Prime game gets announced for it, in which case I probably will buy one.
The so that's for $349.
What is? I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
Yeah,
the new Metroid Prime game is $349.
Fun with your wallets,
man, it was so fun that Steven wasn't on this podcast.
oh shit, you guys.
Okay, so let me get back to the news here. You can talk after we get done talking about the Wii stuff.
Never mind. We're going right back on to talking about something shitty.
Oh my god! And it also launches with. The Miiverse, whatever their online infrastructure is, which we don't know, but apparently they're going to be announcing that down the line as well. And then it, the other thing that the Wii U, the deluxe set does is it includes a digital. It's basically PlayStation Plus for Nintendo. It gives you discounts on games.
Did you get out of that at all?
All they said so far is you're going to get discounted eShop games. So. Whatever that means.
They have to at least match like what PlayStation Plus does.
Yeah, yeah.
Free games and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Free games, as long as you
keep
your subscription.
I think everybody needs to do that, yeah, totally.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I guess they're not technically free then, but, you know, well, close
right.
enough.
But still,
right.
$60
but
bucks a year.
You played all those games.
Awesome.
Like, that's for the amount that you pay for PlayStation Plus a month, like, that's stupid.
Five bucks a month. That's $5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless, this is Nintendo's closest version of that, which is essentially asexual
console. They're pioneers in this industry.
eShop discounts. So they also again announced that their video chat, the Miiverse, and the TV is going to be right out of the box. So you'll be able to get those. Nothing. I think people
Which
have asked.
TV is just ITV, by the way. It's just that it's just the British. It's not actually anything new or anything like that. It's just been
no. It's brand. It's the yeah. Apparently, the backbone of it is based on i.TV, which is the it's like online streaming connectivity type of stuff. But
I wouldn't even. I, from what I've heard, it is not even just the backbone. It is literally ITV, but they've just called it TV and like slapped a Nintendo logo on it, basically. And
I mean,
none of it is proprietary.
Yeah, they developed the whole thing, basically by themselves with the help. And again, you'll be able to using the Wii gamepad as a infrared remote. You'll be able to control your DVR, your TiVo, supposedly any cable box, any dish box, any of these things, and search for all of your content on your gamepad, anything that you're already subscribed to, like HBO and Amazon and Netflix and so forth. You'll be able to find stuff that's going on live or shows that are backed in there. So, and
so, like an, like an iPad, except you can't take it out of your living room.
You can't do that with an iPad, Steven.
Those are like two completely different things.
Yeah, and you can't do that.
I don't understand your comparison.
And you can't do that with an iPad.
Maybe
either, well, so.
Maybe the comparison comes from the fact that like Nintendo desperately wants like the world outside of us to make that comparison, because that is why the gamepad exists.
Well, it's right, but they fulfill two completely different things. Like, there's zero similarity there.
Oh yeah, there's zero similarity.
That would be
in
like
this big giant pad that plays video.
I understand that the device bears a little bit of similarity, but as in terms
I'm not,
of
I'm not
what
talking
they,
about the device, I'm talking about the features that Dally just listed.
Yeah, those features are not on an iPad. You can't just search using one tool to find every freaking service you're looking at. You can't search with the Netflix if you just have the search bar open.
Yeah, but you can't just fucking like search on the oh god, never mind. Go on. Keep talking about your Fisher Price toy.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Steven. Well, yeah, well, how about we wave you back in when the grown people are done talking, Steven? Then you can hop in and talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, yeah, you guys go ahead
and so, as I'm
wave
saying,
me back into the group of nostalgia-fogged old geezers.
All right. So, as I was saying, those are going to be packed in. No word yet on if there's going to be any pack-in games like they did with the 3DS, AR games, all that kind of stuff. Nothing yet. And no word on online, what their online infrastructure is going to be, because they just didn't want to give it out at the time. There were questions about it and said they will talk about it when the time is right.
They didn't want their stock to drop is what it was.
Yeah, exactly. The time was right 2 years ago, let's just say. and so, that's essentially the main details. Price comparison compared to everything out there. The Wii at $299 essentially compares to the Kinect at $299, so it's essentially the same type of device.
I do want to say one thing. I talk a lot of shit, and I talk a lot of shit on Twitter and stuff like that. I'm not like vehemently opposed to the Wii U. Actually,
couldn't tell by this conversation.
No.
Are you sure?
You want
to take some time to think about it?
No, I'm just pointing out that a lot of the shit that I talk and whatnot is not. I'm not as down on it as I like to talk about it, because I like to rag on Nintendo fans more than anything. But there are some legitimately interesting things going on here. But nothing that they announced at their press conference like got me any more interested in what they're doing with this thing than I already was. Like, what about you guys? Like, did you find anything about this whole? I mean, the price for is a pretty big thing. Like the disparity between like the $350 and the $300. Like,
well, see, here's the thing though. Is like, I mean, are people complaining that it's like over $300? Really?
No. I'm not talking about the people complaining about the price by itself. I'm talking about people. People have been talking about like the weird kind of disparity between the $300 and the $350. For just $50, like for $300, you get practically nothing, and then for $350, you get stands and cases and a game and a charge port and a subscription to this thing until 2014, and all this crazy stuff. But and 32 gigabytes of memory as opposed to 8 gigabytes of memory, which 8 gigabytes of memory is not going to be. I would even say 32 is pretty low, but 8 is kind of ridiculous, especially when you consider just the jump for $50.
Right, but so, just get a cheap ass hard drive and put it in there.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, look at what the.
But it doesn't.
Look at what the 360 does. The 360 launches right now with the Kinect bundle with 4 gigabits. You can't do anything.
Nope, it sure doesn't. It launches with 4 gigabytes.
I'm sorry.
You know what a gigabit is?
I call it a gigabit. 4 gigabytes. So I mean, you can't do that. You can hardly download one arcade game these days with 4 gigabytes. But that's what it launches because the intent is to upsell you to the next product. So basic sales and marketing and product type stuff is you price the low one, the shitty version, to get them to entice them to say, hey, you know what? This higher level one is only $50 more, and I get more shit. So I'm gonna go for the bigger one. The quick poll that I did when I called up a couple GameStops near my office, just to ask them what was being pre-ordered more, and they said by a matter of like 10-1, it's the deluxe version
over
the basic, because there's And to Nintendo's advantage, you know, to, I don't want to say Nintendo, to anybody who's selling a product to them, that's a win. You know, you just anyway. So upsold them on $50 worth of stuff that it's probably only cost about 45 cents to make. So the games that were announced, I'm just going through announcements now. We can actually get into the hyperbole afterwards. The games that were announced, obviously we knew a lot of, you know, we knew a lot, the majority of the games out there. Call of Duty, we all kind of expected it. But that was announced. Disney Epic Mickey 2 was announced, although we expected that.
That was not announced. That had been announced a long time ago.
No. It was announced for the Wii for the first time. Same with Call of Duty for the Wii for the first time. Those weren't announced for the Wii yet. As well as, I'm just going through a couple lists here. Warriors Orochi 3 Hyper. I've never played any Warriors Orochi games, but 007 Legends.
They are crossovers between Samurai Warriors and Dynasty Warriors. So probably a good thing you have not played
exactly.
them.
007 Legends, Transformers Prime, Skylanders Giants, supposedly the best version, blah, 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 blah. And then Bayonetta 2 and Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. And in Europe, Bayou Billy 2, apparently. Which somehow I saw that tweeted about by like 50 people, but nobody else mentioned anything about it. So those were, I think, those couple announcements. Was there another game that was announced? Maybe it was just Call of Duty.
I mean, there was a name change for Project P100.
Oh, yes,
Wonderful 101.
The Wonderful 101, yeah. Nintendo's.
God, that game looks so good.
That played good at E3. That game was great.
It did. I loved it.
And so those were kind of the three big announcements. Up until Bayonetta 2 was announced, the tweets of everybody I was following was like, this is the worst thing ever. How can they charge so much for a console these days? Blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden Bayonetta 2 is announced, and it's like, Nintendo's the greatest thing ever. I'm buying this
game. Kind of like when they announced a Metroid game by Team Ninja.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And then it turned out
it was in the reverse.
Poor shit.
But yeah, so those were, that was what
I also
was
love the way that you disparage me for my criticizing Nintendo. But the minute like you talk about anybody else criticizing Nintendo at the same time, you try to sit here and demonize me and shit. But like
I don't have to demonize you. You do a pretty good job of demonizing yourself.
I don't know. I think that's Mike's sigh. Well, I still think you're crazy. Because I will write a feature here pretty soon. I kind of wrote a smaller feature for the paper up here about how crazy it is to be not a Nintendo fan. I don't hate Nintendo for one point. I own a Wii. I own a Super Nintendo. I own a 3DS.
I know a homosexual guy.
But
I
am not a Nintendo fan traditional sense, the classical sense of like people who grew up with Nintendo, because I did not grow on a Nintendo platforms and stuff like that. And so to live in an industry that is like 90% people who grew up playing like the Super Nintendo and the Nintendo and still fucking love everything that Nintendo does is incredibly, incredibly surreal sometimes when like if you say the smallest thing will tip off, like you guys aren't so bad all the time. But there are times when we get into kind of heated debates, as we found the other day on Twitter.
I don't think the issue is – see, there are fanboys which are diehard for their console, and they will say and do things to disparage the other consoles. That's what a fanboy is. There's those of us who own every console that comes out, and when we're – like the reason that I think I get heated is because people call me a fanboy, and I could care less about any of these consoles. I want them all to succeed, right? All of us do want them all to succeed. So you can't.
I don't.
I just hate the fucking Ouya. Fuck that.
No, the Ouya. That's the only one I want.
That's the only one. No, it's. I think it gets to the point where when you start calling people, when you start saying things about certain people, you're just old. You're old fashioned, and you're stuck in the past. that's when things get heated and debated. No,
but
because nobody
but
cares
you,
up
you see,
until that
Deli,
point.
The reason that I say stuff like that is because I get drawn into these things after making legitimate criticisms, and people jump down.
Well,
my throat,
okay,
like,
no. The way that our conversation got started on Twitter the other day, I don't want to turn this into a he said she said, but that's kind of what it is. The way it got started on Twitter the other day was when you said, "Hey, did they announce anything interesting?" And Dolly listed off a couple of things, and you're like, "Okay, so nothing interesting." And
I didn't think that.
That's legitimate criticism. That's like a dig. And that's how it gets. That's how
that's
she gets
trolling.
Started.
That's trolling.
That was not
yeah.
like that was not meant to be anything. That was like me just. You see, the problem with that is that we make it. This industry is so like it's kind of unique. The video game industry is kind of unique in the sense that the journalism is the journalism scene for video games is so mired in like irony and sort of jokes and you know self-deprecating yes. humor and digs at each other and all that all the time. And we do that all the time. We make jokes and you know we're constantly kind of ribbing each other and whatnot like that. The problem with Nintendo is that the minute you do that to a Nintendo console, Nintendo fans will immediately jump your bones like they will.
You see it with everybody. No, you see it with every console.
Like that. Like there's always a sort of an almost unspoken acknowledgement that we're all kind of in this together, that we all kind of realize how ridiculous what we talk about constantly, like what we find important is. Like these are still just video games and stuff like that. And there's always that kind of like, self-effacing kind of side to it. But the problem is with Nintendo fans is that so many of them are grew up with that as a part of their childhood, which is, and so many people have a problem, you know, separating that. I think, I'm not saying that every person who likes Nintendo is stuck in the past and all that, you know, all that stuff all the time.
No,
but
just
some
just
people
Mike
have
and I.
Have
just Mike and I.
Separating. Well, sorry. What did you want to say, Dally? You only interrupted me earlier. How about you take? How about you just take my? Now that I'm on the podium, why don't you knock me down? Why don't you take your sledgehammer
rip
and knock
the
stilts out from under me?
No, I was going to say that it's not just Nintendo though. It's all these three major console manufacturers. And you have Apple versus Android and PC versus. I mean, it's everybody. You can. I can't say. You know, I can, you know, based on facts, I can say the Vita is not selling. It's on the death's door. And then you'll have someone like you, who's a self-professed, you know, Sony fanatic, say, no, the Vita's great. Look at all these great games coming out, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, there are great games coming out. But
here,
it's just,
selling
you know.
Bad, but I think the Vita is still great.
So,
that's not the point I'm trying to get at.
The point I was trying to get at is there's these conversations come up with all facets of every industry, and it's okay. Nintendo, it's Sony, it's Xbox, it's everything, you know.
But the problem for me personally, though, okay, so there are fans on in every camp, right? For every brand, everybody has their own thing that they hold important and stuff like that. The weird thing about being a you know in the video game journalism industry, though, is that 90% of our group, like our peer group, belongs to one of those camps because
yes,
so many
Xbox.
Of us are part of that old guard of Nintendo fans, you know, who grew up on that in that era and stuff like that. And I'm a little bit younger. I didn't grow up in that same kind of golden era where the Super Nintendo was the greatest thing ever. And, at the time, the Super Nintendo was the greatest system ever made. And it's still one of, like, it is still probably in the top three, if you ask me, or the top two for that matter. I don't think it's the best, but in the sort of small feature I wrote for the newspaper, I the way I kind of put it is it constantly feels like you are, if you are not a super huge Nintendo, if you are not one of the Nintendo fans and you work in the journalism industry or the video game journalism industry specifically, it constantly feels like you're like member of a small band, you know, in walking behind enemy lines constantly because you are, you know, you have your own opinions and stuff like that, but there are precious, precious few members of the of your peer group that share those opinions, and sometimes I'm not making legitimate, or I'm just making my own opinions about certain things like that. Kind of when I first started realizing all this for the first time was around the time New Super Mario Brothers 2 got announced, and I posted a tweet that just said, wow, I just saw some footage of New Super Mario Brothers 2. I am not interested in that game at all. And suddenly, like, people I know, people I work with, people I write with and stuff like that, suddenly all of them were jumping at me just saying like, well, what do you mean you don't think it looks interesting? Like, why aren't you interested in it? What the hell is your problem with New Super Mario Brothers? And New Super Mario Brothers 2 looking uninteresting was not an uncommon opinion. So I thought by making that comment, I was not saying – I had no idea. I was not prepared for the response that I was going to get from people who – are professionals in this industry and stuff like that.
Constantly. You always got to be prepared for people who disagree with your
exactly.
Certainly, but the problem is like these people aren't. There's a difference between getting this kind of reaction from readers and from fans and from people who and enthusiasts and from people who are like professionals and are paid to do this and stuff like that from major publications and stuff like that. It wasn't just our kind of subgroup too. It was not just side questers and stuff. It was like people from big publications and stuff like that who I've you know kind of know and talk to and stuff like that immediately jumping on me and saying like, well, why are you so, if you're not interested in it, why are you even talking about it? What are you even doing? It's just like that.
I think part of it comes down to trolling, you know, like a simple comment like, yeah, but what was interesting, that's these days on the internet, that's considered trolling, and you're basically baiting people to come after you, whether you're saying it or someone else saying it or whatever. In all actuality, in my personal belief, is that you really can't be a fanboy of any console. You can't hold any console more dear than the other one. If you want to consider yourself an actual journalist, you know, you're not going to side with one side. You're going to go do your job, and you're going to try to get every console you can so you can report on them all effectively. But the majority of people don't do that. The majority of people that are in the game industry, I personally don't consider journalists, because they come at stuff. You know, you get guys that, you know, I won't name names, but you get guys that will vehemently say, the Wii sucks, fuck the Wii. I don't want to report on the Wii. Well, then you're not a journalist if you don't want to report on something because it's a personal belief. You know, I mean, if it's part of your job to report on something, and then report on it. Don't take, you know, I don't know if personal belief and personal ethics and all that kind of stuff get in the way. It's not like I can't say, you know, I don't want to draw a red car because I don't like red. But even though I know the Corvette is red, I'm going to draw it in blue. But that's not the point of
here.
You know.
Here's the thing, though, is that like I don't think at any point it's fair to dismiss somebody, you know, somebody defending a product as like, oh, well, they're just nostalgic, or oh, they're just like blindly loyal to a company, because like you can never actually say that about a person. They might be, you know, in your eyes, they might unreasonably like a company, you know, way more. It could just be that their fucking favorite game in the world is side-scrolling Mario games. That's just what they love to play. You know, and so every single one that comes out, yeah, they're going to eat it up. And it's not because, you know, they're like, oh, Nintendo can do no wrong. It's just what they like, you know. And so I don't think at any point, and this is for both sides. This is for, you know, for people who are, you know, fans of Nintendo, for people who are fans of Sony or
Mike the Mediator,
or any people who are fans of anything. Like, the fanboy conversation has no place in legitimate discussion.
No. What Daly was saying, that people can't talk. Okay, I totally disagree with you, Daly, on what you just said a minute ago, which is that people can't. Journalists are still people. Like, you can't extricate yourself from opinion 100%. I do not care about the. Like I said, I've said previously, I do not care about the Wii. It's not that I don't that I fucking hate Nintendo. It's because that nothing that they've or very very little of what they've shown me on the Wii has gotten me interested in the Wii as a brand and the Wii as a console. Now, certain bits and pieces of what has been shown and announced for it have intrigued me, but the problem is that those little pieces and stuff are not representative of the entire console, you know, as a whole. And whether or not those specific experiences, which I have to pay another $60,
Jesus.
Those particular experiences don't pay for the time and money investment that I would have to put into gaining the necessary component to play them, which is the Wii U. So I'm not interested in the Wii, but I still report on the Wii U, or I'm not interested in the Wii U, but I still report on the Wii U, and I still write about the Wii U in a non-biased manner. I do my best to try and not write about it in a non-biased manner. But I see in the when I am outside of the journalism of my journalism mode and I'm just writing tweets and stuff on the internet, I'm allowed to say, I should be allowed to say whatever I want and stuff like that. But it's just that I expect a certain level of decorum from people who are paid, you know, money to who should know better, basically, than to jump to the aid of jump to the rescue of one specific thing just because it belongs to a certain brand. Like, if you are a huge fan of Zelda games, and
what makes you think that that's why they're doing it, though?
Because
you don't have any proof.
It's because God, I don't know.
You got
it's
him.
Because it's constant. It's New Super Mario Brothers 2 did not look interesting to a lot of different people. It did not look interesting to me, and a lot of people. And but the way people responded to my New Super Mario Brothers 2 comment was not to say like, well, it looks interesting, or you know, this is why I think it's interesting. It was to say, well, if you're not interested in it, they were making broad generalizations based on the fact, you know, they were making broad generalizations of just the fact that it was a game. It was, like, none of them had played it, or they, I'm sure they had seen the same footage that I had seen. They had no more reason to like it or dislike it than I did, and yet suddenly they were vehemently, like, jumping to its aid, but provided no actual reasons or logical debate as to why they were doing that. It was just them telling me to shut up, basically. Just don't talk about it. Like, literally people saying, like, just don't talk about it if you're not interested in it. Like, why would you even do that? Why are you being such an asshole? Like, because nobody provided any kind of reasonable response to it. Like, the immediate assumption that you have, like, because, and we know for a fact that there is fanboyism in this industry and, you know, fangirlism. I don't want to discriminate or anything, you know, but you know, we know that to be a fact. Like, it is not an unreasonable assumption to make that the reason that they jumped to its defense in the way that they did was because of the brand.
Right, but...
But it is... But you are not... You're telling me that I can't provide any substantial reason for it to be that case, but I can provide circumstantial evidence, which is, you know, obviously all I... like, I will admit all I have, but you don't have any... you don't have any evidence that it wasn't the case either, circumstantial or otherwise.
I can accept that in some cases, but the thing is, like, the reason that this whole conversation started is obviously because of our conversation on Twitter. And one... Like, we were actually, like... I felt like we were having a pretty intelligent conversation, and then it turned to this is why I hate, you know, Nintendo Press Days, you know, because everybody starts blindly defending Nintendo. And I don't think that we were doing that. I'll be the first to tell you that Nintendo has fucked up over the past, like, you know,
for
how many years?
4 years, probably, at
least. Since the GameCube, they have been doing quite a lot of wrong. But, you know, there's also a lot of things that they do right. And it's like, you know, I kind of feel like Nintendo could be number one if they could just take those things that they're doing right and marry them to the things that, you know, Sony and Microsoft are doing right. And, you know, just make the super console. They have a license to print money, as far as I'm concerned. And they're, you know, and they're, well, they are printing money, but they're doing it in the wrong way. You know, I really think that, you know, it could be, you know, the best selling console out of the three. But on the other hand, there's, like I said, there's a lot of things that they do right. And I think that, you know, they deserve to be defended. You know, it's kind of the same thing. It's like, I feel like there's a lot of haters in Nintendo, and there's a lot of haters of, like, it's like Apple or things like that, you know, where they're just like, you know, they, they're just like, well, you know, everybody just blindly likes Apple or blindly likes Nintendo just because of who they are. And it's like, well, that might be true for some people. You know, there are some people that, you know, the brand whores do exist, but I don't think that it's nearly as rampant as you're letting on.
But what, okay, here's another thing too, is like, I'm not trying to attack Nintendo. Like, at no point did I ever, like, say, fuck Nintendo. Nintendo's the worst and everything. My expressions were constantly in both in the case with the New Super Mario Brothers 2 and with the Wii U announcements was one of apathy. And like, my thing is that nobody could just leave that, like, that was like, mine was a neutral response, and then people acted like that needed to be defended against it. Like, people could not leave it.
Why put an opinion out there on, you know, on Twitter if you don't want a response? Like, if you want to, like, live in a vacuum, then protect your tweets and don't let anybody reply to you.
You're missing the point, though. My point isn't that I didn't want a response. My point is that the response that I got did not make sense for the action that I took. Like, the reaction was not... The reaction was to something that I was not saying, because people immediately got defensive over something that wasn't an attack. There was no attack in saying that this isn't interesting. I was not saying, like, this all looks really horrible or this looks really bad or anything like that. But suddenly everybody was jumping to its defense against what was a perceived threat, but there was no threat. Like, there was no –
I think part of it is because – I mean, obviously, as we all know, you can't – you can't really show sarcasm very well.
Not in text.
People cannot show sarcasm in text. So you were being sarcastic, saying, yeah, so what? So really, what was interesting about it? And then the responses came in, like, there's a lot interesting about it. There's Bayonetta 2, there's blah, 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 whatever. So I think one of the failures of the internet, and we've known this for eons, is that you can't effectively convey personal interaction with people, because you can't. You can't inflect your voice. You can't show humor. You're just putting in line of characters. And so, because of that, and Twitter right now, obviously being one of the biggest sources of social media and biggest ways to communicate out there, anything people put out there, it gets retweeted. It gets taken out of context almost immediately. And I know this because I it's almost weekly. I'll say something and. Asking a question about something journalism wise, and I'll get checked in place by our good friend Ben Gilbert, who does a good job of checking me and saying you're not reading it correctly, or you're not doing this correctly. Meanwhile, I'm trying to be sarcastic, and so we have a gentleman's conversation, and I let him know that I'm just being sarcastic, and he lets me know that I have to just be sure that I'm being extra sarcastic or making it a point.
You got to use smileys.
Yeah, you got to use smileys, right? No, but
there's a law that says that, or not like a legal law, but like a Poe's law kind of thing. One of those like Wheaton's first law or something, sure. Will Wheaton's first law or something like that, where it's like there will always be somebody who can't tell that you're making a joke unless you use a winky smiley. I think
and you see this happen at every major conference. I saw, if you think it was bad during the Nintendo thing, you should have seen the iPhone announcement. I mean, the amount of just vitriol and hate out there was it was offensive to the point where people are calling other people derogatory names. Half my Twitter feed was in anger for some reason. So it's not uncommon. It's all over the place, and it's just a matter of sometimes things being taken out of context. Other times it's people not checking the facts when they're tweeting. I mean, there was a lot of this, like, for instance, there was a big tweet that people were shooting around yesterday that was, so the iPhone 5 doesn't have 4G. Oh, my God, why would Apple go backwards? So then you're like, no, hold on. I found myself hopping out there and saying, no, hold on a second. You're spotting off the wrong facts. It does have 4G, it has LTE, blah, 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 blah. So I think what happens during after your tweet or a lot of people's tweets, I had a few teats. That would be great. A few teats come right back at me on yesterday. People not seeing all the facts out there. There were questions out there that people were saying, well, then the Wii U only comes with 32 gigs. One of the Wii U games is 25 gigs. How are they expecting to install more games in the hard drive? Well, without people not digging deep enough and realizing, hey, by the way, the idea is you're meant to buy an attached hard drive,
Probably already got a hard drive.
You've probably got like five sitting around at your house that can plug in.
Well, I mean, this is completely off the topic that we're on, but like, that's kind of shitty too, though. Like, it's fine that it doesn't come with this thing that's probably pretty necessary for a lot of different experiences, because you either own that or you can go out and buy that kind of thing, and that's not something that.
How is that different than, say, a Bluetooth headset for a PS3?
Maybe if you shut the fuck up for 2 seconds, you would let me finish my sentence and say that that's a problem with every single with every single console. But the fact that you guys are like apologizing for it is super frustrating because it should not be that shit should not fly on any of the
I prefer that over like say what goes on with Microsoft where it has to be a proprietary accessory. The fact that Nintendo's allowing you to do anything with an accessory that's like not proprietary is like a far cry away from their what they normally do.
I will write a feature about this to try and put it into a better perspective. I think the core of my issue with the Nintendo fans is that it's twofold. There's a much higher density of them in the journalism community than there is in other places where it's usually, you know, pretty evenly spread. I feel like the rivalries that pop up between this is the second part. The rivalries that pop up between Sony and Xbox are people being shitty but being equally shitty to each other. Whereas I think with anybody who in my case, at least specifically, I guess I can't speak to anybody else because I don't know. But in my specific case, like if you show apathy towards something or what's another word for it, I guess, like, or just sort of disinterest in something Nintendo like, and you don't immediately feel that emotional connection to it, that's not good enough for Nintendo fans. You can't just like. You can't just feel nothing when the 18th Zelda game gets announced. You have to be there crying Ryan Gan style at the announcement with everybody else. And there are documented cases of people getting that emotionally upset, like journalists getting that emotionally upturned at like announcements of a new Zelda game or something like that. And I think that the way that it is. The way it always ends up working out, and the reason I said something about like this is why I hate Nintendo press days, is that like 361 days out of the year, everybody is super normal, and everybody's like crazy. You know, we're all kind of on the same side, and everybody is the person that I know that they are. But then the minute Nintendo gets on stage and trots out Miyamoto or Reggie Fizumi or whoever it is, or pulls out a new Zelda or something like that, suddenly for 24 hours everybody is back on that bandwagon, and everybody is suddenly again not okay with people being just okay with Nintendo, and that's kind of where that comment comes from.
See personally, like I'll rush to the defense of anything that I like and can see merit in, and like I said, I mean, I watch Nintendo press conferences with more skepticism than most, and actually a little bit more more apathy. I mean, I think Dolly can attest to this. I was browsing Reddit and playing Diablo 3 at the E3 press conference.
We were doing some pretty damn fun stuff at the E3 press conference.
Uh-huh. Like, it's, you know, it's, I just know that, you know, a lot of the stuff that they're going to show me is not going to be worth my time. But the problem with Nintendo, the conundrum that I always find, is they always do just enough. Like, they do a whole bunch of things that aren't, you know, that suck and are dumb, like friend codes and you know, no hard drives in their consoles and just like a no, like decent online support. But then they release something like super great. Like, you know, I'm a huge like Smash Brothers fan, so it's like, fuck, I have to have it for that. You know, like they have just enough stuff to keep me interested. And
actually, in that newspaper feature, I mentioned that exact same thing. I say that Nintendo is the master of throwing their fans just enough of a bone to keep them coming back to the well every single time.
But you know, I mean, the one thing that Nintendo always ends up getting is. They can always fall back on, or for the majority of the time, fall back on having really quality software, right? You know, and I think that's probably why. So if a new Zelda comes out or a new Smash Brothers, you know, it's you pretty much know it's gonna be pretty damn good. So I think that's when people kind of step back and say, all right, you have a new Smash Brothers. I have faith that it's gonna be a great game, whether I'm a Smash Brothers fan or not. It's gonna be a great game, and that's why I think people, I don't want to say jump to the fence, but they kind of almost take that as as inevitable as, okay, Smash Brothers, okay, you got me. I'm gonna play Smash Brothers.
But so and then that's kind of the thing too, is to a Nintendo fan, I mean, that is how you kind of qualify a modern day hardcore Nintendo
fan.
Well,
I mean, you have it with like Sony and Little Big Planet. If a new Little Big Planet game comes out, you know it's going to be good. You know it's going to be purchasable. If you have a new Halo game come out, it's the same thing.
Okay, but just let me finish here. Is just that like with the thing about Nintendo fans though is that this stuff has been it's been going from generation to generation to generation. Like you know there have been so many, and you use the like Little Big Planet argument a lot, or you know just any kind of franchise argument a lot, which is that you know well it's you know being a huge fan of Legend of Zelda is no different than being a huge fan of Little Big Planet or something like that. But my issue is that as somebody who didn't necessarily, and I don't even know if it's not necessarily, it's just somebody with a different you know set of tastes and whatnot. Zelda and Super Smash Brothers and Mario Kart and all that stuff. Those I like those games, but they are not enough for me to justify the console by themselves. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they. Mike Bachman's sigh just came audible.
I keep forgetting that those come through.
that stuff's not enough for me, especially from the fact that they have been doing those same franchises those same like three franchises over and over and over and over again from generation to generation to generation. Which one thing that at least you can generally Sony has been pretty good about is like their big major franchises kind of stay on their platforms, and when the new platform rolls around, their first party franchises kind of do the switch. So it's like, you know, PlayStation 1, you have Crash Bandicoot and Spyro the Dragon, but you didn't see
and
any
Metal Gear and Final Fantasy, yeah.
But those aren't first party though.
No, they were exclusive to Sony.
Well, Spyro wasn't first party, was it?
No, but it was Insomniac at the time. Yeah. Insomniac was second party.
Oh, okay. Well,
and Naughty Dog is also still second party, but
yeah, and Spyro is still going on too.
Yeah, but it's become it's kind of own thing though. It's not it's jumped multi-platform. It jumped multi-platform a long, long time ago. It is no longer a Sony franchise. You know, it is Skylanders.
Would it be okay if they're still making Mario games, but they were on a bunch of different platforms?
No. Well, I mean, it's not that it's not okay for them to continue to be making Mario games right now. I think it's perfectly fine that they keep making Mario games. It's just that Mario games aren't enough for me, and I don't feel that the last few Nintendo consoles, the 3DS, the Wii, and the Wii U, I don't feel like they bring enough to the table outside of what Nintendo already does, and that I just don't think that Nintendo stuff is enough for me, and whereas it seems to be enough for other people, and when it's not enough, but if it's not enough for you that you keep getting your 18th or 19th Zelda game, like it so many people find that to be like a character flaw in you, or like to be a bad thing, or like that is an attack on Nintendo saying like, well, you don't like Zelda games, well, that this shit will not stand, or something like that. And but I only cite the fact that there have been so many of all these franchises, mm-hmm, as mm-hmm, one of the reasons why I'm less interested in them than I mm-hmm could be.
And I would say I would agree with that. If they didn't constantly keep those franchises fresh in some
way.
They
have not kept the Zelda franchise fresh.
No.
I may have agreed with Mario, but the Zelda one has been pretty fresh.
They've kept Mario pretty. Mario Galaxy.
Right, Super Mario Galaxy, but the 2D Mario games have suffered. I have not been a fan of those at all.
And that's why that was when I made my comment on was the 2D Mario game.
Sure. But that's the thing, is there are exceptions, of course, but generally they keep those franchises pretty fresh.
I just disagree. Like they just fall. I think like especially in the case of the Zelda franchise. This conversation has gone on for a long, long time. But especially in the case of the Zelda franchise, I don't think they do anything to keep it fresh. I just think they stagger the releases of them far and wide enough where it's by the time they release a new one, you feel like it's fresh because it's been so long since you had the last one. But they are still the same thing every time. It is still get the boomerang, go into the dungeon, get the key, leave the dungeon, go get some kind of vehicle to transport yourself from area to area, go into the dungeon, do it again. But the problem is they've done it like dozens of times.
So, I made the point online where I said something similar to what you were saying, but I said it about Little Big Planet because to me, Little Big Planet has not been fresh. It's been that same first game over and over and over again. God of War.
It certainly has.
Same first game over and over again.
That
Halo,
certainly has too.
Halo, same first game over and over again with maybe a couple little multiplayer tweaks, but... Call of Duty is same way, same game over and over again. Madden, same game over and over again. It's what's popular. It's what sells. It's what people are familiar with. That doesn't mean that the games are bad. It doesn't mean that the people that enjoy those experiences are not seeing things correctly. I mean, look at Mega Man. Mega Man games have been the same game, but that Mega Man community is massive. I mean, that is one of the strongest communities. But you look at the games, and they haven't done anything.
If a game's designed well enough, then I mean, you can iterate it slightly, and it's still going to be worth playing.
But my biggest issue with that argument that you use, Dally, is you use that argument a lot.
Yes,
there have been, including the Vita version, there have been four Little Big Planet games, and I think it's a fallacy to assume that it's that is the same, or like that kind of thing keeps working over the set of four games after there is no difference between doing that over the course of four games and doing that over the course of like 40 games. There is a big difference.
But think of it this way. I mean, 14, 40, 4, 2 games, it's the same game. It's why I was happy with Little Big Planet 1, because Little Big Planet 2 to me was the same game as the first one. I purchased the PSP game, and I felt okay. It's the same as the one that I've had on my PS3. There, you know, I bring up Little Big Planet because it is a high quality, really good game series. It's one of the best series of this generation by far. Same with Uncharted, same with Mario Galaxy, same with Call of Duty, you know, these games, same with Assassin's Creed, these games have really blossomed within this series. But just because they've been annualized, I mean, Little Big Planet has been an annual game every year since 2008. Call of Duty has been an annual game. Halo has been an annual game. Gears of War has pretty much been an annual game. There have been little changes, but just because there have been little changes doesn't mean
I was just going to say Gears of War was not an annual franchise.
Yeah, that's true, but it is now, right? I mean, Gears of War 3, now this new Gears of War game is about a year later. But there, you know, it's to the point where, I mean, sequelitis is a big topic these days, but just because people are enjoy a series and feel like one series does something really well doesn't mean that they're, to me, it doesn't mean that these people don't like progress, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just think that's where our core, between me and you personally anyway, I think that's where our core disagreement lies, is that I feel like you think that it's, that the same franchise doing the same thing over and, doing the same thing over and over again and just iterating slightly every time is the same, doing it any number of times is pretty much the same whereas I think that there is a point of diminishing returns where it's just like, okay, you can keep giving, I enjoy the fact that I keep getting more versions of this same franchise I love, but there is a point where I am totally done doing that. You've given me enough of these things. Please just do something different. Do anything different. And maybe I wouldn't be so upset about the whole in Nintendo's case if they actually did do other stuff as well, but they don't really. Like, I think the last big major thing was, I mean, when they do, it's such a huge, you know, in the case of like Wii Music, it was such a huge failure that they immediately stopped doing that and went back, you know, back to Mario and Zelda and all that stuff. And I mean, Pikmin is great, and that's kind of one of their newer franchises and stuff, but that was like one new franchise in how many years that it was, you know, was a Nintendo type thing. And I just don't think that doing those same things over and over again and not changing them at all works. And all, I mean, this, there was an article on Kotaku as well that showed like a bunch of different reviews of different companies, and one of the ones that really stuck out to me because it seemed really poignant was a lot of the employee reviews of Nintendo were saying that it is full of old guard men who have been there for their entire lives, and Nintendo never, ever, ever fires anybody. And it's super, super frustrating for the people who work there because they constantly want to do new things. But because everybody, you know, it's such a family type thing, and nobody will ever let these guys retire or fire them or let them, you know, walk away quietly or disappear into the night or whatever it is that you do. The people on the bottom are never allowed to stretch their creative muscles or do anything different. And so the creators become incredibly frustrated with being trapped underneath this old guard. And that old guard's not going to be there forever. Miyamoto is not going to be around forever. And so what happens to those same franchises and those same ideas once they change hands and stuff like that? Do they retain that kind of original magic, or do they slowly just become, you know, do they innervate? Do they, you know, become, do they slow down and wind down, and suddenly you've got this entire generation of people who were never allowed to do anything differently but didn't have that original vision that those guys did, and so they can't make their own original stuff because they never got a chance to,
We kind of went off on a huge tangent here, and
we've gone off on a hundred huge tangents.
I mean, I don't think anybody would disagree with you and say, hey, you know, we want fresh new ideas in Mario games. We want new ideas in Little Big Planet. We want new ideas in Zelda. But we have to, as people, and as journalists and fans of games, we have to say, hey. You know what? I may not be a fan of any of the changes you've made to Zelda or the kind of stale or more single path design of Mario. But there are millions of people, and it shows it in sales, that do like these experiences to be that. But we can't fault them for it. And I think that's where the issue comes out on, especially on places like Twitter, where as soon as you fault somebody else their taste. That's when the negativity and the defense comes in. I personally retroll people who I see are trolling products online, and I do that to everybody. I've, you know, every product I own, Sony, Nintendo, Xbox, iPhone, Android products, whatever. Mm-hmm. If there's a lot of trolling going on against them, I usually tend to hop in and kind of retroll, because 99% of the time these people don't. Yeah, and I only do it on Twitter. Don't check their facts. They're just kind of spewing crap out there, even some of these so-called analysts. But so I think the issue is just, you know, us, again, just being mindful that there are people out there that do enjoy these specific kinds of experiences, and we have to understand that, and we have to cater to it. Not saying that any of these, back to the Wii U argument, any of these, you know, New Super Mario Brothers U, I don't think, I mean, we've made that, you and I, Stephen, have... and Mike have agreed that, hey, it's just another side-scrolling Mario game, and does it do anything different? Well, Steven and I have kind of talked about this. Does it do anything different? All right, to me, it looks really pretty. It's the first HD Mario game, but I just got one for my 3DS.
Dally?
Yeah.
Dally, I really need to cut you off.
Sure.
Because I got three things.
We'll get back into the Wii U stuff. Sounds good.
Well, okay. I got three things I've got to say, which were: A, I think it's you say you can't fault people for their taste, but I think that's kind of hypocritical, because you can't fault. I think it's kind of the conservative. My issue with like conservative politicians is like they're constantly saying you can't fault people for, you know, their beliefs, as long as those beliefs are the same ones that we have. When you say you can't fault people for their taste, you can't fault people for liking something, but you can totally fault them for not liking something, which I think is, if you have to do one, you have to do the other. But B. I've forgotten B, so I'm just going to move straight to C, which is we should really, really move on, because this podcast is 2.5 hours long, and Bachman has been just reduced to tapping really, really loudly on his keyboard for all of our listeners to hear, sighing occasionally and going, mm-hmm.
Usually I'm the one asleep when it's these podcasts.
Here's the thing, though, is that I just kind of gave up, because what it turned into was... all of us were just talking really fast and really long to prevent the other.
Oh, God, I'm running! Oh, yeah!
I'm just going to start playing Dave Matthews.
That's the real Diamond Dave. Okay, so let's just get back to these news real quick of what was kind of announced about the Wii U and
Bayonetta 2. Okay. Project P100 is now. I'm gonna rush through this.
Yeah, yet. Project P100 is now. Was it the
Wonderful 101?
Wonderful 101. We have the Wii U Pro Controller was priced at $49 in the U.S.
And gamepad still don't have a price.
Gamepad doesn't have a price. Nintendo's saying that we're not going to sell it separately because you're not going to need one because none of these games function without a second one.
A bunch of stuff won't work at launch. No, there's really not a lot of details on the internet connectivity or the
services.
That's
the big one. That's the huge one to me. I think the huge one to a lot of people is what's going on with the online. And we don't know what's going on with the online. They've been so coy about it. I mean, where was this big giant... the giant EA partnership, remember? EA said it was going to be unprecedented, their partnership with Nintendo.
And then Nintendo's been saying, or not just Nintendo, but yeah, a whole bunch of them have been saying a whole lot of stuff, and it's still, okay, I'm going to get political again. It's another thing if you compare like the DNC and the RNC, you watch the RNC and it's a lot of them saying like, we're going to make things better. And then you watch the DNC and they pull out a lot of numbers and actual statistics and pull out a lot of things comparing other things, like how things have changed over a couple of years and what is actually different and like hard evidence and stuff like this. Nintendo came out right away and said, we are going to make things better. And now here's their like third opportunity to do so. And have not said a single thing about what they're going to do.
Sure, sure.
I'm not going to spend $50 on a Pro Controller, by the way, until they switch the fucking buttons and the right analog stick back to where they belong.
They're kind of like the reverse of the PS3 buttons and sticks, right? Or the PS3 sticks are kind of down low and the buttons are up top.
There's no reason for them to put it there. If the only, I'll tell you why. It's so that they don't get sued by Microsoft.
Probably. It's probably it. That's probably it. Yeah.
God.
And so there was a lot of talk about the price. We can talk about the price real quick here. The price announced $299 for the basic, $349 for the deluxe. Gamma Sutra actually
There was rumors of a third version for Europe called the premium version.
Yeah,
that comes with a copy of Zombie U and a special case.
Yeah, and so the initially there was a lot of I don't want to say hate, but there's a lot of negativity about the $299 price. I think part of it was because actually, and Mike, you might remember this at E3, a lot of people were saying it's got to be $299 or less. It's got to be $299 or less. Well, I think that $299 price point was hit. Like they nailed it, but then. At some point, people started saying it's got to be $249 or less. It's got to be $199. So I think that's maybe what caused a lot of the folks to.
If you give a mouse a cookie, right?
Yeah, exactly. But Gamma Sutra together.
Anything always has to be $100 less than whatever it actually is.
So when you look at that price, and I made the Kinect comparison earlier of the $299, it's the same price as an Xbox with Kinect with. It's essentially the same. There's a gimmick. There's a tiny hard drive, and there's no free online.
I can't believe they're still selling those arcade units. I thought I could have sworn they got rid of that.
No, I think it's the Kinect arcade unit with the 4 gig. Well, anyways, that's $299. And so, but Gamma Sutra put a good list together showing launch prices of consoles and how. With inflation over the years, which is really interesting to note. The actual launch price, the Wii U is right in the middle at $300 and $350. I mean, the Xbox launched at $300 and $400. PlayStation 3 launched at $500 and $600. Xbox launched at $300.
The most interesting – I just want to interrupt real quick because I don't know if you're going to hit this point or not, and I don't want to get left behind.
I think you're going to say what I was going to say. Go ahead.
The most interesting point on that whole list is that a Neo Geo in 2012 still costs you like a mortgage.
Exactly. A Neo Geo in today's dollars is $1,138. I mean, it launched at $650. It's $1,138 now. You look at adjusted for inflation and at launch prices, the Wii U is like second or third from the bottom when you look at that $300 price. So compared to... there's a bunch of different ways to look at it. $299. The analytical side of me says it's about right. If it hits that Xbox 360, it's the same technology. $299 I think is you know, it's there. And then the $350 is just the version with the game packed in, which I think is you're just saving $10 on a game. I mean, I think that's probably pricing wise, I think that's probably right with what Microsoft is doing. Nintendo always says they're trying to save money, you know, and trying to make money. But the interesting one is really where you get to the PlayStation 3, where the PS3 has the Move version, which again, it's the gimmick, but you're actually getting a second controller in there as well, and that's $299. So I think that price point is kind of interesting. So, and then the $350 version comes with you know, Little Big Planet 2. So all three of these actually kind of line up when you think about it in the grand scheme of things, but
which is part of why, from a business, like, this is okay, completely removing ourselves from like the critical thing. From the business standpoint, I don't think that any of this is anything about the Wii U is a good idea necessarily, because I think it's too much like I actually think, you know, as radically different as the Wii U is from anything that we've seen before, or at least anything that we've seen on a console space before, except for the VMU
and the DS.
I think they're going too much the same route that they're trying to say, well, it worked last time, so it'll work again, kind of almost Sony-esque, coming out of the PlayStation 2, going into the PlayStation 3, like saying, like, we had it right the first time, so we'll just do that all over again, and because people will buy us because we are Sony, because we just made the PS2, which, you know, if I had made the PS2, I'd have been feeling pretty good too, but I think it's a little bit crazy that this thing costs the same as the current gen consoles and looks the same, or in some cases better, and some cases I've heard worse than current consoles, depending on what you're talking about specifically. I've heard bad things about that Transformers Prime game, and from the screenshots I've seen for certain other games.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff they showed at the press conference looked SD.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard people comparing some shots of some of these games looking Wii-like, which, you know what, that might be attributable to just, like, maybe a lot of these games were Wii games that just got bumped up to Wii U at the last second. That could totally be possible. I doubt Bayonetta 2 will look like a Wii game.
I mean, and even, was it Activision came out today and said the Wii U version of Skylanders is actually the best-looking one because of some of the texture mapping they were able to do and all that kind of stuff. Over the other ones.
That feels like it was probably made from the ground up early on enough in the development cycle where they were able to.
Nintendo should enjoy being number one graphically for like a year.
So let's real quickly, let's talk about, I just have two topics to talk about. One is a lot of people are making a big deal about the ports for a lot of these things. And they're saying, who's gonna want to buy Call of Duty, a week after launch? Who's going to want to buy Batman a year after launch? Who's going to want to buy this kind of stuff?
I think it's less of a problem in the cases of for Call of Duty anyway, on timing, so much as it is a case of like nobody's going to buy it. This is specifically for Call of Duty. Sure. Nobody's going to buy Call of Duty on Wii U, or, you know, people will buy Call of Duty on Wii U, but like nobody's going to prefer that to their 360 version, which is where everyone's going to buy it. Because that's what all their friends are already going to have.
But the people that did buy Call of Duty Black Ops on the Wii might pick it up for the Wii U. So I don't know what those sales numbers were. They definitely weren't anywhere near what the Xbox and PS3 had. But
I've heard those actually even the Wii versions of that game sell really good. But I think that has less to do with it being the Wii and more with it just being Call of Duty. Call of Duty sells everywhere.
Sure. I took a look at just some quick numbers about Batman sales and how everybody's saying why would Nintendo release Batman? This is back at E3. Why would they release Batman on the Wii U? No one's gonna buy it. And then July happens, Dark Knight Rises hits theaters, and Batman is like the number three selling game in the U.S. for the month.
November's still a while away. As the Steam sale, though.
That's also true. That's the same time as Steam sale, but holiday season. I think that's when Dark Knight Rises hits Blu-ray and DVD. So there could be some type of potentially some type of marketing thing there that they're lining those up.
I think
you look at a lot of those games. You look at games like you look at games like Call of Duty, and you look at Assassin's Creed, These are their evergreen games. They're still selling. Call of Duty Black Ops 1 and Modern Black Ops 1 is still ranked in the top, usually in the top 5 of all the games. There's always people buying these games, so they're definitely
there's always people buying Black Ops, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think there's even some of these other ones, Batman, there will be people buying it. It definitely won't be high numbers, that's for sure, but there'll be people buying it.
I think okay, the Batman one actually kind of the problem okay, so the my main problem with all of this basically is that it's so hard to judge how any of these ports are going to do because I think two things about that. I think A, it's really annoying that we have to look so specifically at each the situation of each because each is such a special case. You have Call of Duty, which is, you know, there's nothing else like it because it's, you know, the best-selling game of all time and it's evergreen and it sells on everything. It's crazy. But then you have Batman, which sells, you know, which had a bump in sales because of the Steam sale and had a bump in sales because Dark Knight Rises came out. But then you look at the same time, and Dark Knight Rises did huge, huge numbers. Mm-hmm. But I think that the tail on Dark Knight Rises was also worse than that of the Dark Knight, the first one, because I think that public opinion turned against Dark Knight Rises way more wildly than it did against the Dark Knight. People, you know, almost nobody doesn't like the Dark Knight, but there's a lot of people.
Double negative.
Fuck you.
Well, I mean, the point I was getting at was that there was you know the big comment was people aren't going to buy these games. They already have them on their Xbox. Yeah, but it's not targeting people that already have them on their Xbox. There's always going to be people buying these games, and it's just a matter of them just getting those games out there to say, hey, we can do these games too. Few folks might buy them, but.
Well, that's my issue though is that was like going to be issue number two is that I think that I don't think you can say that people are going to buy all of these games. I think because you have to look at each and every one because they're each such a special case. Like in the case of like Mass Effect 3 is another special case because none of the other Mass Effects are on Wii U. So who wants that? I mean, for that matter, but
how did Mass Effect 2 do with on PS3? How did Mass Effect 2 do all right sales?
I have no idea how it sold on PS2, but I imagine it was probably pretty okay. But they had, you know, they had the advantage of coming in second place. This is, you know, you're two games behind.
Sure. It sold terribly on PS2, actually.
PS2 did horrible. PS2. It didn't even work.
I put my Blu-ray in, and it just said, like, media not recognized. I sold it back and bought Call of Duty. Burns.
Blops.
I mean, and at the same point, if the Wii U is supposed to be very similar to the Xbox... You know,
I'm trying to get to my.
Go ahead.
To get to my point. It's my own fault for getting on tangents, but I just I'm just gonna say it. I think it's a bad sign for the Wii U that we have to look at each of these games on an individual basis because launch titles, generally speaking, regardless of their actual quality, usually do pretty okay when they come out because there's nothing else to play on the system, and I think that too many of these games are the kinds of games that people would already already do own. I think I do agree with that. I do agree that, like, you know, the kind of person that buys Arkham City is not the same kind of person who's like really super excited. You know, outside, you know, in our industry, it's different because we all care, like, all games, all good games, and all the consoles as long as they can do okay. We all like that, but in the main industry, you know, in the main community, I don't think that the kind of average person who buys Batman Arkham City and who's really pumped about Arkham City is like, oh man, I can't wait for the next Wii. And beyond that, I just think that the fact that we, you know, it's not just an immediate like assumption right off the bat that we should that you know that we can say that all these games are going to sell well because it's a new Wii, it's a new console, everything that comes out on it is going to be golden for at least a little while. Because they're all in such, because we are not in that headspace right off the bat, is kind of like, I think speaks to maybe a lot of people's subconscious doubts. And I also think that each of these games is in such, like I said, like just in such a strange, specific way. I mean, Call of Duty will do fine. I don't think Batman will do great. I don't think Mass Effect 3 will do great. Batman, possibly because I think they were running too much on the concept of, hey, Dark Knight Rises is going to be coming out on DVD around that time, except I don't think as many people are going to be super, super stoked about Batman by the time the DVD rolls around as they probably thought there would be because they're – I mean, I really hate the Dark Knight Rises. The more I think about it, the more I dislike that movie. And So I know that there's a lot of people who feel the same way. And I don't think they're going to be super, super pumped on Batman Fever about the time that Dark Knight Rises comes out on DVD, Blu-ray, and all that stuff about that time. But
so yeah, I mean, I think that's just going to be the state of the way things are done from here on out. When if the PS4 launches before the Xbox 720, the Xbox 720 will have probably some ports of whatever PS4 games are already out. I mean, the Vita had a ton of ports of games that were out on PS3. And
look at the 360 when you were getting an Xbox / PlayStation 2 version of a game, but you were also getting like the 360 version, which is just an up-res, idea.
I think it's normal for these launch titles to come out as ports. They're just filling shelf space to make it look like there's a ton of games out there. And
make it look like there are games.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's just the state of the industry. So I personally don't look at the ports for sales numbers. I look at the kind of new games and see how those are going to be selling.
It's a shame that none of those are in launch window, though, are they? Not really. Like, the Bayonetta 2 is not launch window, is it?
No, they didn't give a launch date for that one. The ones that are...
I thought that was March 2013? No, something else was.
No, that was... Monster Hunter's launch.
Oh, Monster Hunter, okay.
Sorry. Mike's computer came with USB ports day one. So the games that are launching on November 18th are Assassin's Creed 3, Darksiders 2, Disney Epic Mickey 2, ESPN Sports Connection, Game Party Champions, Just Dance 4, New Super Mario Bros. Wii U, Nintendo Land, Rabbids Land, Scribblenauts Unlimited, Sing Party, Tank Tank Tank, Your Shape, and Zombie U. And out of those games, personally...
Where does Funky Barn?
Funky Barn is Holiday 2012. Out of those games, let's just kind of go around the table and if there's any of these games that interest us of the launch day. And there's a bunch of games that they have within the launch window, and a lot of them which the timing hasn't been announced yet. Like the actual date for Call of Duty and Transformers and Skylanders hasn't been announced, but
Let's do this rapid fire style. You say the name of a game, and then we'll each of us in turn, just round robin style, say yes or no, okay. Yay or nay.
All right, sounds good. The Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah. I mean, it's like not.
You're ruining it.
I'm having a hard time talking about ports. Sure. Being excited about ports. So
you just, I mean, you're not talking specifically about your opinion of the game itself, just about the Wii version of it, or the Wii U version.
Right. That's what I'm saying, and I'm saying I have a hard time being excited about the ones that are ports.
All you have to do is say yay or nay. Are you excited or are you not excited? Yay or nay?
Maybe. Nay. 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 Nay.
Nay. Okay. Nay.
Nay. I am yes, because I probably won't buy it up until then, only because my backlog is so big.
Oh, okay. Because
I'm one of those guys that picks up.
Dally, you're breaking it.
I know.
You don't know what quickfire means.
Darksiders 2. Darksiders 2.
Nay, I'm already playing it on PC. Okay.
Nay.
I'll say nay because I'll probably pick it up before then at a good deal. Disney Epic Mickey 2.
Nay.
Nay.
I'm going to say the shit thing is I don't know what date the other games launch, so I'm going to have to back out of this one. Because I did like the first Epic Mickey, but ESPN Sports Connection.
Nay.
Nay.
Nay. Game Party Champions.
Nay.
Nay.
Nay. Just Dance 4.
Nay.
Nay.
Nay. New Super Mario Bros. Wii U.
Why'd you skip over Madden?
That's not launch day yet. New Super Mario Bros. Wii U.
It says it on the site.
Oh, does it? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, you sent the link to me?
You linked to it, and it's on that list that you linked to me.
It's Inside Baseball Kids.
Oh, so they updated. I'm sorry, they updated him. Okay, Madden NFL 13.
Nay.
Nay, I heard you. Thanks, bitches. And New Super Mario Brothers Wii U.
Yay.
Nay.
I'm going to say yay. Nintendo Land.
Nay.
Nay.
I'm going to say nay, but it's already coming with the one I pre-ordered. So, Rabbids Land.
Nay. I've avoided the Rabbids Lands for this long, or the Rabbid games.
Yeah, same here.
Oh, okay, nay.
Yeah, nay for me. I've never played a Rabbids game. Scribblenauts Unlimited.
Nay, that's more of a portable game.
Steven?
Yeah, nay. Nay. I'll play that on my iPad still.
I'm going to say nay. I'll get it on the 3DS or the iPad or something. Sing Party.
Nay.
Nay.
Nay for me. Tank, Tank, Tank.
Man, I don't think there's enough of a game there, so nay.
Yay, because the game's called Tank Tank.
It, you know, if it was a downloadable game. You
oh,
know,
it's not? Oh,
no, okay. It's not.
This is, that, well, they want me to pay $60 for Tank Tank Tank?
Well, I don't know. Like, if it's just an arena, like, the arcade version that I played at E3 was just, like, kind of an arena tank game, and that's cool. But, I mean, if there's, like, actual, like, I haven't looked into it, so I don't even really know what it is. But if there's, like, if there's, like, four-player, like, cooperative levels with, like, bosses and stuff like that, that'd be cool. So that, maybe.
But for the time being, nay.
Yeah, absolutely nay.
Yep. Your Shape, I'm going to say probably nay for all of us, huh?
Yay!
Zombie U?
Yay, exclamation point.
Same here nay. For me. Zombie nay. U. Holiday 2012. I'm going to skip over some of these, like Sonic, Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, Ben 10, Family Party, no. NBA 2K.
Well, those are all yays.
You hear those. Yeah, well, yeah, it's a foregone conclusion that we're all getting those day one.
Let's go to 007 Legends.
Nay.
That
game was a hot mess at E3.
Oh, was it? Oh, shit. I was actually kind of a... I
that wasn't even the Wii U version.
Oh, was it not? Okay. I was kind of excited about the game, but now I'm not so sure. But the Wii U version, nay.
Call of Duty Black Ops 2?
Nay.
Nay.
I might actually just pick this version up only because I'm not a diehard Call of Duty player, so I might say yay just to fill it out.
Just to try it out and see what's different about it.
Exactly.
I will say though that just like being able to have to do the two screen thing like is really interesting. I would do like couch multiplayer on Call of Duty just for that purpose, but it would be a rental.
Here's why I would definitely buy Call of Duty Black Ops 2 for the Wii U over the Xbox 360 is because the Xbox 360 has some amazing Call of Duty players. I'm guaranteeing you the Wii U version is going to have some shitty Call of Duty players. I might
dude,
actually
seriously.
Win some matches.
Seriously, that's what it was like with Modern Warfare 3 on the Wii.
Yeah.
Like I just rented it to try it out, and it was people are awful.
Skylanders.
Skylanders Giants,
yeah.
I'm gonna say nay because I like Skylanders, but I've already kind of like I've already opted out of buying all those figures. So
yeah, oh God, like this is the most divisive one I've encountered so far, but I'm gonna have to say nay because if I don't say nay, I'm gonna go bankrupt.
I'm gonna say nay because I'll probably already have it.
Yeah. There's no way you're waiting for.
No. Transformers Prime.
I already have a lot of Wii games.
I actually watched the TV series Transformers Prime.
I've never watched it.
Show's really? Pretty good, but yeah. That's how they get you. Is they slap the same name on a video game and say, "This is if you like that."
Yeah. Nay, because Fall of Cybertron is probably way yep. better, and yep. I've already got that.
It is.
I'm going to agree with you there. And finally, let's get through a couple. I'll just go through a couple of these launch window ones. Aliens Colonial Marines, which launches the same day across all the platforms. February 12th.
I know nothing about it, really.
Depending on how they use that, the gamepad, that might actually be kind of interesting. If that's if that's the motion sensor or some shit, or if that's your map or something.
I could see myself picking that one. Is it yay or nay?
Nay, because I can't see myself buying it on the
sure.
I on anything like other than like the PC or something. I'll just end up buying it on PC.
I'll probably say yay, just because I'll again it doesn't if you know if, unless it's like a Madden or something where I'm definitely be playing it on the Xbox. I'll pick it up for the.
Actually,
I don't even think this has multiplayer.
Dolly won't buy any game that's not a Madden.
That's basically it. Is it Madden 11?
I'm gonna change that to a tentative nay until I find out more about how it supports the gamepad.
That's just gonna be a nay for me.
Avengers: Battle for Earth.
Is that the Kinect one?
It's Kinect and it's Wii U, and it's the only two versions being made.
Nay across the board. I don't care about that game at all.
Yeah,
I actually kind of liked it a lot, and for the Kinect, so I would see myself getting it for Kinect. So this is gonna be nay
for the
Wii U.
It's all like rock paper scissors, though, isn't it?
No, it is, but it's. It is, but it was definitely a little bit more fun because you're Iron Man versus Hulk versus Wolverine. But, yeah, no, I kind of liked it. I wouldn't get it for the Wii U, though. Batman Arkham City.
Nay.
Funky Barn.
You skipped Cabela's Dangerous Hearts for 13.
Actually, I can see our son. I can see that actually working really well with the stupid scope.
No, don't do it.
Stop it, Deli.
No,
stop
kidding.
It.
How about Game & Wario?
Nah. Mm.
Which is the Wario version of Game & Watch games.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
It's Game & Watch, but they're making a Wario game.
Okay, but is it Wario?
It's WarioWare-ish, but more Game & Watch than WarioWare.
Nay.
Yeah.
Nay.
I'm going to say nay.
What am I going to do with this little silhouette man? He flips pancakes in Super Smash Brothers? Forget about it.
Mass Effect 3 is nay for me because I already have it.
Nay, I already have it.
Don't talk about the ending. I still haven't played it.
Everybody
has. I've not played the secret endings or like the special, whatever, the director's cut. So I won't talk about it.
Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, which comes out in March.
God, I try to like Monster Hunter, but nay.
I really should like Monster Hunter, but I just cannot get into it, so that's an A.
I'm going to say yay on this one, because I did like the Wii version, but I just ran out of time playing it.
I would have loved the Wii version, except I was supposed to be playing that with somebody,
oops,
and then
sorry.
Somebody dropped off the face of the earth. So.
That would be me. That would be me. I liked what I was playing.
That blood of the nay is on your hands for
there
this
you
one.
Go. Ninja Gaiden 3, I'm going to say nay for me.
Nay.
Ugh, nay.
Pikmin 3.
Yay.
Yeah.
Whoa. You realize that's a first-party Nintendo title soon,
I love me some Pikmin.
You fucking fanboy.
I'm going to say nay because I just picked up Pikmin 2.
Idiot.
I just got that Pikmin 2, so I'm going to say
you
nay.
You wastoid.
We just
you
got that
dumb
a long talking about this.
Rayman Legends.
Yay.
That's a hard yay for me, dude.
That's
up the top.
Look out your window. Can you see my boner?
I just got hit by
it. I feel it on the back of my neck.
and then Wonderful 101.
Yay. Absolutely
yay. As well. So there are a few games within that launch window, maybe about seems like five each that we would consider yay. Maybe four for Steven, I think, and then five for you and I, Mike. Is that enough to sell a console? I think, you know, I don't know.
It is, but it's not enough to sell day one. Just those
that's,
two games.
That's exactly it. So let's go around really quickly here to kind of finish off this so we can actually get done and wipe down a little bit.
Dolly, I gotta work next week, so
we should probably hurry up. How do you guys think it's going to sell during the holidays? Do you think it's going to sell pretty well?
It's tough because this one isn't going to have the same casual appeal as the Wii. So it's not going to sell as well as the Wii for sure.
It's not trying for the same casual appeal as the Wii necessarily either.
Right, but that casual appeal is what.
No. Yeah, I totally agree. That's I'm just pointing out that how bizarre I think that is that they are shooting for like a more hardcore, you know, as much as I hate the terms hardcore and casual, like they are shooting for a more hardcore audience than the Wii did.
Are they though? But, I mean, if you look at that, well, I mean, they've got
without
core titles, but I feel like they're middle of the road for me right now. It's like they've got all this casual garbage and then they've got core titles and they're doing
That's just it. They're non-committal on both. It's almost like they're kind of waiting to see if this catches fire like the Wii did, and they're hedging their bets so that they can go in either direction depending on what ends up being like more popular for them. But what I'm afraid of is I don't think it's going to really catch fire with either group the way they would want it to as like a business. But they still got Wii money, so like, you know, like they're probably not they're probably not going to be hurting. I don't.
Yo, Reggie, buy my dinner. I know you got that Wii money.
So I'm going to say that it's going to be sold out pretty heavily during the holidays. I think it's.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Specifically during the holidays.
That's all I was saying. No, I was just saying during the holidays. For right now, just during the holidays, I think it's going to sell.
I think it will sell, but I don't think it will sell out.
I think
you'll be able to find them on store shelves.
I think it will sell. I think it'll be you won't have the amount on store shelves as we think we will. And then I just read Kotaku just now posted an article that said GameStop has nationwide sold out its pre-order stock of the deluxe Wii U models. Basic bundles are dwindling, which essentially means those will be out maybe by
right.
now.
And, but those pre-orders aren't set in stone either. Those can dwindle before up until launch too.
Oh, that's very true. That's very true. I mean, you can actually have less available than were pre-ordered, but that just kind of sets it up for those couple weeks afterwards. For
no, I'm specifically talking about people canceling their pre-orders.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that does happen, and those usually end up selling the first day though, regardless of what system it is, all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, I might buy it day one if it was made by Apple.
There you go. Okay, how do you think it's going to do through March?
I think once we get closer to March, I think it'll pick up. Really? You know, once you start getting some of those like titles that people actually want to play.
Oh man, I think it's not going to do Vita bad once you get towards March, but I think it will cool off significantly post December, February, or post December, January times. I'll bet you it cools off considerably.
Yeah. I'm thinking it does 3DS bad, which the 3DS.
Yeah, here's
not
the
do
question:
great.
Is like how long till a price cut?
Yeah, that's always gonna be the question. That is a great question. When do you guys think there will be a price cut on the Wii U?
We can't predict that. That is entirely dependent on.
It's dependent on sales, but I mean, you can kind of get an idea based on, you know, how well you think it's going to sell. And I'm going to say, I'm going to give it a year. I'm going to say next holiday there's going to be a price cut.
Next November 18th.
Yeah.
Or the Nintendo November Nintendo 18th.
Nintendo 18th.
Nintendo. I'll let you go first, Dali, because I'm still thinking on this one.
It's hard to think without knowing if Microsoft and Sony are going to be launching their consoles next year or not. I think
God, they have to be, though, right?
I don't know. The word's coming in now that Microsoft is having parts issues and they won't be able to launch their console till springtime of the following year. So,
yeah, that's okay. There's more specifics to that.
Parts issues didn't stop them from launching the 360.
This mine is still missing them.
This is just a plastic chassis with rocks inside.
I loved watching I didn't love it, but it was just so funny watching those YouTube videos of kids who would get the Xbox, like the box for Christmas, rip it open, and inside is like books and clothing.
Oh
no. Dude, their hearts are so broken.
Such a dad, Deli. man.
So
I'm gonna say
2 years after launch.
2 years, ooh. I think that's. I'm gonna come right in the middle of you guys. I think after. I don't think they drop it before the next holiday season, but I bet you after. I think like March of 2014.
I would assume. Oh. I would think though, if they were gonna do it around that time, they would probably just wait the couple months till
E3. Oh, that's a good point.
So yeah, June-ish. Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Good point. Very good point. So there we go. Are there any other quick hit questions we can throw out there before we shut this bad boy down?
No.
There is no more room. We have
almost 3 hours.
3 hours, dude. I got to go.
I have to play
go. I got games to play. I got a buddy waiting to play Dust right now.
I'm going to cut this episode into like a tenth of the actual amount.
No, don't do
that. That whole diatribe we went on could be a separate episode by itself.
No, I like that. That was when we picked up steam. Like, you were drunk for the first, like, 20 minutes, so that didn't help. the first 20 minutes of this podcast are the worst.
Maybe I'll rejigger it and throw that one at the end, actually. So
watch your mouth.
On that note.
That's racist. Burns.
On the Burns. You have listened to the Side Quest episode 415. I am Dolly Domofsky.
The motion picture.
I'm Dolly Domofsky. You can find me at CoolRats. You can find us at sidequesting.com, at sidequesting. Steven, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at STEVENSTROM. That is Steven Strom. It's not pronounced Strom, by the way. God damn it.
You know, every time you say your name, I keep wanting to sing STEVENSTROM, Steven Strom.
Donald Duck.
Dally Domofsky.
It's Mighty Mouse.
Eric Smith. Steven Strom.
I really Ryan actually Gann, like the Steven idea of Strom. Like Eric Smith being the Donald Duck nemesis to Steven Strom.
Oh, shit.
Mickey
oh,
Mouse. Shit.
I just chipped my tooth on the goddamn microphone, damn it.
Can one of us be like Scrooge McDuck and the other one be like his weird Scottish rival? Other Scottish, the more Scottish rival, I guess.
Can I be Darkwing Duck?
Ah, goddammit.
Okay, wait, let's all pick a duck.
Fuck you. Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Okay, Mike, where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me playing Dust in about 2 seconds. Also on Twitter, at the Mike Bachman, B-A-C-H-M-A-N-N, dos enos,
Spanish. Do you want to drop the... are you guys ready to drop the other info yet or not yet?
We better be ready to drop it. That shit's coming out on Monday.
Oh, there you go. What is that info?
I have actually left side questing because fuck those guys.
Because you're a traitorous Benedict Arnold.
Because of our 3-hour podcast. Arnold.
Predictions on how long it takes me to start begging Dolly for my job back. We're actually launching a new site called Geekenstein where you can find all sorts of things. And that will be coming out Monday the 17th. It's geekenstein.com, spelled just like it sounds.
You should probably explain how that is spelled, because Geekenstein, like, is it a G?
How'd you spell that?
I would spell it Geekenstein.
You fucking got it.
Yeah, I got it because I'm a fucking genius voice of a generation. But
no, I don't have to do that because you just spelled it for everybody.
Oh shit!
You done just did my job. I tricked you into doing my job for me.
That's the kind of shit you guys do at Geekenstein. You actually mind warp people.
Yeah, this is basically like we just crowdsource everything through Twitter and then just
Geekenstein. This hip hop gamer 2.
This 3-hour podcast
shout,
is just a
shout out to side questing.
Shots fired.
Shout out
fired.
To Geekenstein.
Shots fired.
Mm-hmm. Source yourself in your own article.
All right.
Source a brain.
Source a brain. All right, guys.
Was it ours? I don't know.
I'm gonna let you guys off the hook. This has been maybe the penultimate episode of SideQuest.
Okay,
we'll
so
see you guys next
week. Let me drop
this,
guys, on you. We got one more thing. We got one more thing. I gotta explain this to you guys real quick. So Christmas Story 2 is coming out soon, right?
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yes.
In celebration of what will no doubt be the most celebrated holiday movie of all time, I'm thinking about doing an image of all of us in the a Christmas Story like poster art with Kolchak the Night Stalker and Ralphie and stuff like that, mm-hmm, sitting mm-hmm on the floor and everything, right? Except, like, Dally, you have become, like, putting your face over on Kolchak the Night Stalker. Mike, your face on the lady. Me as the little baby Ralphie. And then Santa Claus, a.k.a. Ryan Franklin, will be dressed as Batman, sticking his head out of the chimney. Now, what we've done is we've replaced the leg lamp with a rubber ducky for you, Dally. Mike, your tray full of like food that's falling over has been replaced with a tray full of Sprite cans. And I am wearing a Wookiee costume instead of a little bunny costume.
Is this a thing that's actually happened?
This is a thing that I am working on.
I like it.
Or by working on, I mean I will probably get Alan Black to do it.
There's really only one response to that, and that would be...
God damn it, baby, no, I ain't lying to you. I'm only gonna tell you one time. Oh, yeah.
What have I told you about playing Mitt Romney sound bites on the side quest?
I got
that was
no
way
love.
Too charismatic. That was way too charismatic for Romney.
I don't know. I just picked a politician. They're all the same.
You Chris Christie.
Oh, that was. Oh,
you would have been racist if I said it was Obama.
Man,
oh,
I don't know why.
I'm running. Oh, yeah.
Afghanistan.
You know, I tell you all about it.
Okay.
Show me your birth certificate.
I'm leaving. I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
Peace out, sidequesters. Say, guys, Steven.
I don't know what you're talking about,
Steven.
I'll do it. I'll steal it from you.
You think you can hang with this crew, but Mike Bachman?
I think
Steven,
I got
to do your thing.
Oh, okay. I don't do all that. That shit ain't a contract.
That was 5 weeks ago.
Was it five weeks ago?
That couldn't have been five weeks ago. You're bad at math.
Did you say August 26th or August 6th?
26th.
Oh, 26th? That was like 3 weeks ago.
That's probably closer to the truth, 3 weeks ago. All right. At the sound of three, I shall begin this podcast. Are you ready, gentlemen?
At the sound of the bell.
At the sound of my vocal fart. This podcast shall begin. And one, two.
This has been the side quest.
Can you guys hear me chewing? That was the worst thing.
Wait, was that a soundbite or was that somebody? Couldn't tell.
It has to be a soundbite because it wasn't me, and Dally lives in a house with a baby.
It's the Diamond Dave app. Have you guys got the Diamond Dave app?
Yeah, I just rushed out to my local digital retailer.
Yes. I've been playing with this nonstop in my meetings. It's just the funniest
shit. I
think that
means we have a budget this time, fellas.
Woo! I should just get a soundboard for these podcasts. So I have like stupid radio show, like morning show soundboard clips.
Coming at you live. 96K FM.
You know, I tell you all about it. Oh, God, I'm running.
Oh, guys, did I forget to mention that I quit?
And three, two, one.